family bereavement, we also have one of us who has been in sport, SABC, sport SABC. Can we arise and have a moment of silence? Seated, it was in the name of the late Mr. Kekana. Those who have been in sport, I knew him very well. His contribution was a very good one. Let me take this opportunity to apologize. Maybe my voice, I had a major surgery on Thursday, but I'm trying my best. Good morning, DM. We are welcoming you. We have been all over presenting us in all of our matches with so you did make us proud. We've won wherever you are born. In some, we lose that at the end, but because we did get your apologies that we are presenting South Africa in each and every national and international games and sport fraternity matches. We are proud of our South Africans. I'm suspecting you were raising our flag high. Honorable members, I'm welcoming everybody here. This is agenda in front of us. DG and Tavish, we are welcome. We were here even last week. Because of the department, it's huge now. Some of us, we don't want to say that we have a department of sport and a department of arts. This is one department, so that's why we are meeting Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm suspecting we'll be getting to use to that. I'm presenting the agenda in front of you, honorable members. I'm seeing that the main thing in the agenda is on the agenda. Anyone need to adopt the agenda? Honorable Mama Boy?
I'm looking for the adoption, Honorable Chairperson.
Anyone to support the agenda? Honorable Nchaisa? Chair Mike?
Yes, I do serve as adoption.
Deputy Minister and the entourage, that honorable member elected himself to be a deputy chair. So sometimes we won't just we'll see him thinking that he is a real deputy chair. So we don't have deputy chair, but elected himself. Thank you, honorable. Do we have any apologies? Seemingly, we don't have any apologies. That I'm having a new secretary with a big, I used to have a secretary who's like myself. So now I don't get any official apology. I've seen this, somebody next to me, I'm even scared because I know my secretary. but I don't have got an apology.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members and Honourable Deputy Minister, the Honourable Officials and Guests. My name is Temingo Singoma. I'm standing in for Ms. Ajabulile Mthiya, the Committee Secretary, who's not feeling well. That's the apology from the Committee Section. Committee Secretary, Ms. Mthiya, not feeling well, hence my attendance here. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Any other one? Honourable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm just hoping that the written apology from the Minister has been submitted. I don't know, because that's what we understand.
Any unfortunately, Ajabulile just asked him just now to come and please himself. We have an apology for the minister, which was a written one. I'm seeing another hand there. Apology of the minister that is not with us. Can members go to the point 3 briefing by the Department of Arts and Culture as it is? Can somebody take us through? Thank you.
Which one are we working on now?
Thank you very much once more.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted to raise a concern. We have never received an agenda. All documents we only received today, and we cannot prepare ourselves just 11 hours. Let's take this committee serious, Chair. I cannot even participate because I've only received these documents now. I've even made calls. Do we still have a meeting or not? Now, I'm trying to say, can this be taken serious? I think we agreed in our last meeting that we must get documents in advance.
It's going to be a red thing that they can't email the document to me. On Thursday, I went for research. And on Friday, I was compelled to come whilst I was off sick to meet the delegation of the chairman. My executive secretary came with documents piled like this. So, the problem now, our secretary is not with us, Honorable Msonga. Can I ask honorable members that the documents is in front of us, the presentation is going to be presented with due respect. Can you participate in listening and compare with the documents which are in front of us? Just a moment. Constituency, whilst we do have our gadgets which Parliament did give us. So I'm suspecting that my apology of not having a circulation in time, Monday is not a good time, honourable members, to our staff, but at least there is an indication that 10:21 on Monday the documents were sent and the Parliament did give us gadgets. Let me apologize, we must try to get these documents before Monday in order that we must have enough time, because we're here on Wednesday and we ask on Wednesday that the documents must be out. I'm seeing the hand of our researcher. Before you, honorable member, I'll give to the researcher.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going through my emails and I noticed that Jabu did send the presentation on Wednesday the 21st at 2:53 p.m.
To what email?
To all the members.
All of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including the support firm.
Use our Gmail.
Honorable members, can I intervene saying that we have not taken note of what you are saying, Honorable Mthlongo, but I'm pleading that, I'll give it, that if there's that error, because I was wondering why did I get it on Friday. It was Thursday after the of the surgery. I had to come and I've asked Ubulela, and Ubulela went and printed them. I didn't even myself look at my gadget. So, as I'm sitting here, there was a circulation of a message from the secretary saying that all the members must give him correct emails. I do have that message. But because there is this error, and I'm pleading to the members that let's get to the business of today and it must not happen again. Can I give it to you, honourable member?
Chairperson, I think the confusion is because some of us don't use the Parliament email. I, for instance, use my Gmail, so that's why I didn't receive it. So, and I also didn't then, for that reason, receive the email where they asked for the email address that should be used. So if we can, we will just fix that then with the chief.
Let's fix that. I'm not happy that you can take 20 to 30 minutes discussing an error. We are all human beings.
Yeah.
So we're behaving like now we're taking these minutes that we must be engaging in the presentation. But because we want to correct something, next time we must not do that. Honourable member.
Thanks, Chairperson. Willem Faber here. Chairperson, yes, I want to say exactly the same, and I'm not repeating because it's not a repetition, but for the last 10 years, almost 11 years in Parliament now, I've not used my parliamentary email once. In the first week in 2009, they sent me so much nonsense that I cancelled that one. So for the last 11 years almost, I got my Gmail on my Gmail, and I see that my Gmail or my parliamentary mail is being used, which I haven't used in like 11 years. So if it's possible that we just get an update in this committee, because I think we did put in our actual mail emails, that we just get that through to all the secretaries and committee researchers so that they actually use the correct emails. We are trying to go paperless this year, as I am on ICT as well. We've been doing it for the last 10 years, trying to get us in a paperless parliament system, that we don't use all these documents. So it's of very, very serious concern to me that we're still not even using the right emails, not even talking about using electronically our systems that was given to us by Parliament that cost millions. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable members, with your respect, we are noting, and I will try every now and then to check, because I did get even in my electronic system, and I did get the messages that you must update, but I do take what you are saying, and they are all here. With respectfully, honorable members, thank you for that. We have noted, and honorable DM.
Thank you very much, honorable chair of the portfolio committee, honorable members of the committee, officials led by the DG of the department, guests and officials of parliament. Thank you very much for allowing us to come and present to you. As you know, I know that this is now an old record already. The department is Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, but because the votes for this financial year are still separate, we then present the report of Arts and Culture and then and the report of Sports and Recreation until end of this financial year. So we are here today to present the third quarter and the fourth quarter report of the Arts and Culture. And that will be led by the DG. And we really want to appreciate the fact that the full complement of the committee is here, and the fact that as the department we have complied, the report was sent on time. The confusion, Chair, is amongst the portfolio committee support staff. As the department, we have sent the report on the 19th to the support staff. So we wanted that to be underlined. And we hope that the members will really appreciate the fact that we take you very seriously, and we take the committee very serious as well. There is nothing about unserious about us. So we will, how we then are going to process the report, Chair, is going to, we will then allow the DG to do the third quarter, and then after that discussion, and then we will then present the fourth quarter. But just briefly on the third quarter, there's nothing major, but we do want to highlight to you that the big thing there is that out of the 30 targets that the department has set itself, it has achieved 23. But the DG will explain why they have not achieved all the targets that they put themselves on. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable DM.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister of Toronto Sports, Arts and Culture. The report, the outline is as indicated there. We provide the overview, then the comparative analysis of the first quarters, and then, of course, the third quarter comparative to the previous quarter. In other words, a quarter-on-quarter comparison. And then there's program by program specific performance, and then what were the key highlights of that quarter. We then look at the targets that were achieved, where then we account also for the targets that were not achieved. Then the CFO will deal with the breakdown on the spending patterns for that quarter. We will just move directly to slide 5. Honorable Chairperson, as the Deputy Minister have indicated, that we had 30 targets for this quarter, of which 23 were achieved, translating to 77%, and then we had 7 that were not achieved, translating to 23%. Honorable Chair, to outline that which are those targets that are 7. One relates to the feasibility and due diligence around the work study that the department had to undertake in relation to how we are structured vis-a-vis responding to the strategy of the department. We then have the cultural diplomacy engagement as well as the 6 flagship projects, and then it's in relation also to the professional artist project that we have as a target. We then also have a target relating to the cultural and creative sector through the MGE workstream. We then also had support to community arts projects as well as the documentation of the One Living Human Treasure. when we look at then the comparative analysis of the first and second quarter against the third quarter, the indication is that while the first quarter were at 85%, and then a better performance in the second quarter at 91%, we then had a decline of the third quarter, which we then had less performance than the previous two quarters. If we then look at the third quarter vis-a-vis the previous quarter, we will see that the difference is 3% of performance, the 3% lower compared to the 2018 third quarter at the time. Just to indicate the near-on-year comparative analysis. Then in terms of the programs, department has got, as currently structured, we've got four programs. Administration, which deals with the corporate services matters, as well as financial matters. And then we've got institutional governance, as well as then arts, culture, and promotion and development. We also then have heritage preservation and promotion. If we look at then program-specific, in the third quarter, four targets for administration, and all of them were achieved. And then on the IG, we had seven targets, and only five was achieved. And then if you look at the arts, culture, promotion, there were 12 targets, and four were achieved. Then eight were achieved, as against the four that was not achieved. And then on heritage preservation and promotion, the department had six targets achieved and one not achieved. If we look at what we regard as the key highlights, I will not spend much time here, but the issue of opening the library was done at the conference that took place in Cape Town to look at that, and was indeed opened, and the minister was on site, and that was on the 9th of October 2018. And then we had the former deputy minister also, who then held the Mama Albertina Sisulu memorial lecture at Tembalito Community Hall. And if we go to the next slide, we also had the BRICS ministers of culture, who were then in attendance in South Africa, and discussed the issues of culture cutting across the BRICS countries. And then, of course, if we move to the next slide, we're just indicating that there is an ongoing effort to ensure that the Africa agenda, in line with Agenda 2063 aspirations, are met in South Africa. And then through the Department of Arts, Culture, working with the embassy and the Ministry of Tourism, we were able to host in Ghana what we call the cultural season in Accra. Of course, then we also had what we call the royalties to the payout of some of the artists, the local artists, and these were payments were just in relation to the songs played from 2014 to 2015 across all the South African broadcasting radio stations. If we look at the next one was, of course, the Reconciliation Day, hosted and held an address by our President, Honorable President Cyril Ramaphosa, which we believe went quite well. If I move then, Honorable Chair, on targets, I'm not sure whether I need to go through targets achieved or go through targets that were not achieved. But if you look, all of them. Okay. So, Honorable Chair, in third quarter we had one target under administration, which was talking to communication and marketing campaigns that we implemented to profile the department in relation in particular to Reconciliation Day, that was achieved. Then 70% of the BEE compliance for service providers, we were at 78.66%. And then on the five MBSOs program by the ministry, we had 12 MBSOs that were held. And then on the number of quarterly monitoring reports that we need to approve and submit to both Treasury and DPME, that was also complied with. And then on the IG, the target of three, number of, that is entities, performance information reports, as part of our role in terms of oversight on the performance of the entities. The three, and then we had two departmental as well as one from the entities that submitted those and were approved. And we provide just the details in terms of the quarter one audited report, as well as the entity's second quarter analysis report, and then the outcome 14 report. We then have the issue of the governance tools that we implement, and we had a second draft that we needed to have developed, and that second draft was indeed developed with inputs after the consultation with the various sectoral forums that were supposed to make those inputs. And then if we move to the national days, and as a custodian of the commemoration of the hosting of the national days, as a department, we had the Reconciliation Day, and it went quite exceptionally well, and it was done. Then the three social cohesion projects that were implemented, it was three, and three was done. Then the issue of the programs supported for the target groups, we're here referring to the field band championships, and one was planned and one was done. When we talk to the domains in which terminologies are developed, this is in line with the issue of developing and promoting what we regard as the indigenous languages, concepts, and terminologies, so that we are able to have scientific way of talking to our various terminologies. So they were in relation to safety terminologies, road safety, pharmaceutical terminologies, as well as engineering and construction, and indigenous plants and animals that we had planned to do. And those are the ones that were then done. And then if we look at the issue of the multi-year human language technologies, HLT stands for human language technologies, and we had six that were planned for that quarter, and we were able to achieve that six. Market access to provide opportunities for the creatives. Five opportunities were to planned, and five were indeed done. And then we had the issue of percentage of documents received and accepted that are translated and or edited. 100%, which reflects here the number of 168 were received and 168 were translated and or edited. And then we had a target of 300 bursaries that we do award for language practitioners. And this is in collaboration with the universities. And instead of the 300, we had 509 that were awarded to development of qualified language practitioners, particularly focusing on the indigenous languages, Chair. I must emphasize that. And then number of gazettes for geographical names that is now under Program 4. We have one gazette, which then is published for the issue of the new geographical names that are now approved through the Geographical Council. Once they come to us, it means all processes have been complied with, and we now need to make sure that they are gazetted so that they are officially then those names changes are implemented. And indeed, we were able to do that on the 24th of December. Then the heritage infrastructure projects, we need to provide and monitor through our project managers the progress in terms of how these are. And we then did get that report which provided details on whether the projects are in good state or they are not in good state in terms of being achieved. Installation of flags in schools is in line with national nation building and social cohesion, which talks to the familiarization and promotion of our national symbols. And the target was 200, and we were able to do the 275 flags that were installed in the schools. We then had a number of newly built libraries, either brick or mortar, or what we call modular libraries, where brick and mortar is not possible. 29 was the target, and 29 was indeed achieved. And then in relation to the South African Library Information Services Bill, as a target for the year, the bill was to be submitted to Cabinet, and indeed it was presented by the Minister, and was submitted to Cabinet 11th of December 2018 and then forwarded to cabinet. Then we've gotten the bigger issue around the issue of underwater cultural heritage policy that was to be submitted to cabinet. Indeed, this was submitted to cabinet and approved by cabinet. The targets that were not achieved in quarter three start first, as we indicated earlier, that administration for this quarter had 100% performance. On IG, we have the following that were not achieved. The department is currently pursuing what we call the white paper. And the white paper envisions the issue of reducing the number of entities. Not that we reduce, but look at reducing the number of councils that manage the entities, so that we don't have the plethora of 25 entities, 25 councils. Yet if you package them according to their areas, if it is heritage, you have a council that looks at the heritage entities, if you look at it from that context. So there was a decision that we rather engage on a feasibility study on what this animal of amalgamation would look like. We were to do consultations on draft feasibility and due diligence reports that were to be completed. Honorable Chair, we can indicate that here we had to appoint a service provider. But service provider, when we made that publication, we had budgeted that this would be done through quotation basis. But all the responses that came were above 500,000. We then had to review the approach so that we follow the tender route. And that tender process then took time. And that is why then with this target was not achieved. And the service provider under corrective action, as we indicated, was then on the 17th of January 2019, and the project plan was then developed at that time. So this target was not achieved. The number of cultural diplomacy engagements, target was 5 for these cultural targets. While 5 were done, as we report, however, compliance in terms of means of verification, if one of those is not yet fully compliant with the report submitted in line with our technical indicator descriptor, we still do not report that as achieved until full compliance with the submission of requirements is done. Hence then, one of the reports of the 5 was signed, was not signed, and that needed to be corrected. So at the time of the closure of the quarter, if it's not signed, we take it that it is not yet compliant with 100% achievement. Hence, we reported that. And then the intervention was that 4 reports were approved, and then later the unit had to make a follow-up so that the report is signed. And eventually that was corrected. 20 flagships, the target was for 6. Again, here is the same problem about the issue of compliance, but also in line with our governance about the contracting. When we enter into contract with beneficiaries, that there are requirements they need to make. Here, Honorable Chair, the major problem from the third quarter, you will see this had a domino effect also to the fourth quarter, was that while the flagships did happen, we paid the beneficiaries 90%, and then once they submit a report, we pay them the 10% after they've submitted the final report. We call then that there must be a proof of payment, and that is called the payment stub. Now, if you look at this, we could not pay the final payment on these reports, despite the project having happened, because there is what we call a court order obligation we have to meet in relation to a court settlement of an OP conceiver service provider, which had a cost to the department of 28 million rand. So if you can then pay your beneficiary the last step, the last payment, it means in terms of means of verification, even if the project had happened, you still have an outstanding verification material or evidence. And that is why we could not then do that. On the issue of the professional artists projects, we had three and three were done, but one of the reports at the time of a final report submitted, that one of the report when it was looked at, it was inadequate, needed to get additional information from the beneficiary. Again, we needed then to go back to them. So we could not report it as 100% closed until we get that, although there's projects were submitted. So the program had engaged with the beneficiary and the report was then corrected and submitted. A number of cultural and creative sector projects, target was 10. We here had a similar problem that while 10 was done, when there was a report that was not fully signed, then it meant that we regard that as inadequate and we needed that report to be submitted. Then we can make that to be green so that then it declared as fully achieved. So we had to stick to the rules of the game in relation to means of verification. That report have also then since been submitted. Community Arts project supported, the target was 60, and they submitted the 60 projects that were done. But when we looked at the progress reports that were due on the fourth quarter, this is now in line with our contractual obligations, and that we are saying to the, if you do your project in the third quarter and the contract says you need 2 months to submit the final report, it means that follow under the following quarter. So it is a problem here of alignment of our contracts with the reporting period, which we have undertaken to correct in terms of how we're going to capture in our evidence technical indicators. That is where the issue is there. So here one human living treasure was a target. The service provider here had already done the interviews, conducted research, and written the draft chapters on the two selected living human treasures. But it was not completed. The service provider then had to produce the two books. If you look at that, then there was just a delay and we could not finalize the appointment of the service provider on time. The book then was to be submitted in the fourth quarter, and we can indicate that that was now finalized, is done, and that is why we've got Umama, Noria Mabasa, and Dr. Esther Mashang. Those were the living treasures, human treasures that were documented. That brings the narrative, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and may I submit to you, Honorable Chair, that the CFO will present the financials.
Thank you, Honorable DG. There's no other additions. Because according to the agenda, we've adopted the agenda saying that after this point three we must discuss. I was thinking that it will be discussing after the whole briefing of the fourth, but we've adopted the agenda, so I'll follow the agenda unless the members want to say something to me, because I'm suspecting the third quarter, as DG is reporting, some of the things is saying that have been corrected, suspectingly that in the fourth quarter we'll be getting that. So no, it doesn't work this thing to show me. So I'm still presenting. I'll take the hands. I've sold DM. I sold the honourable members. I'm saying that we have adopted the agenda. If you look at the agenda is briefing point three, and then 4 discussions, and then 5 another briefing, and another discussion. I'm saying because of that, I'm proposing that we must have the fourth quarter briefing, irrespective of that we've adopted the agenda. DM?
Thanks, Chair. No, I'm not disputing what Chair is saying. I just wanted to remind the Chair that the third quarter report is not complete yet. They still have to present the financials of the third quarter report, and then you can bring that discussion.
I've asked that any other official to present after you, DG. They didn't indicate. Did you not hear me saying that? But thank you, DM. But irrespective of that, what are you saying about the point that I've just raised of the discussing the complete third and fourth quarter? Because we have adopted the agenda. I wanted somebody to say something. And sometimes members, you don't want to be live and active. I don't know why. Honorable Ntshaiza, Honorable Sierra.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think you can come to discussions later on as such as, so you can change because it's not adopted the agenda. So you can still change. These are not laws of Asian. That cannot be changed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairs. I wanted not to do as I please. Honorable Sia.
The support chair.
The CFO.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and greeting to the Honorable Deputy Minister. I'm presenting the third quarter expenditure report. I'd like members to look at the schedule that on the left-hand side is presenting from is the accumulative expenditure from April to December. That is at the end of the 9 months. But on the right is an expenditure for the 3 months because we do project that in the quarter from October to December, how much have we planned to spend. And we also analyze in terms of the budget planning whether we've spent according to that 3 months projection or not. And basically you can see that for the third quarter, which sort of translates into 75%, the department has spent in total for the 9 months 73%, which is nearer to the arithmetic projection of 75%. However, in terms of the 3 months projection cash flow, is that the department has spent 79 million less than what is planned, although in terms of the program, some programs have spent more than and others have underspent drastically. And then I will break it down so that members can also see what was happening, how were the trends affected, and what are the reasons behind the particular transaction. If I go to slide 34, Honorable Members, that's where you get the breakdown of the economic classifications, where you can see that the individual items, how the department have performed. And in the next slide, I'll be giving explanation of the reasons for the over or under expenditure. So at a high level, we can see that, for example, compensation of employees, 61 million was planned, but only 60 million was spent. On goods services, the plan was 90 million, but the expenditure was 116 million for the 3 months. However, if you look at the accumulative figure, we are still under budget. We only spend 78% in terms of that item. On the libraries, we will spend 412 million as planned. 412 million was estimated.
on departmental agencies. The department planned 391 million but only spent 342 million. On departmental agencies again for CAPEX expenditure, the department planned to spend 105 but was only able to spend 45 million. On non-profit organization, the department planned to spend 36 million but was able only to spend 29 million. If members allow that, I go to the slides where we also give explanation so that we can explain ourselves per economic classification. In terms of compensation of employees, the actual expenditure for the 3 months was 60 million compared to the projected budget of 61.8 million. And the reason for the underspending is the a vacant post that have not yet been filled by the third quarter. On our goods and services, the actual expenditure as indicated is 116 million, which is 28% more than the 3 months cash flow projection of 90 million. And the main reason for this over expenditure for the third quarter is that the lease agreement payment for the Sechawa House building for the month of April and August were only submitted after the second quarter, which was paid in the third quarter. As a result of that, it increased the expenditure, meaning that in the previous quarters, the lease payments were not paid in full, so it was just covering up on those lease payments for the building or the head office of the Department of Arts and Culture. Furthermore, there were GCIS claims for the marketing that they were doing for Heritage Day and Women's Month celebration, which were only submitted in the third quarter. Furthermore, the payments for the service provider, for the appointed service provider for the Heritage Day celebration, which happens in the second quarter or at the end of the second quarter, was only paid for in the third quarter. The corrective action in terms of this, we said when the colleagues do the cash flow projection, if events are happening towards the end of the month, that cash flow projection should be brought into the new quarter, because sometimes it will take more than 6 or 7 days to process a payment, so that our projections are in line with our delivery of events. Furthermore, the cost of under expenditure is that payments for international travel claims received from DECO, which were processed in the third quarter, whereas the traveling happened in the previous month. So it was also covering up on expenditure already incurred as reconciliation are done. Lastly, there was a payment for the event management company for the implementation of the Ghana cultural season, which was hosted in Ghana in the previous quarter, but only paid also in the third quarter. On the transfer of conditional grant for the libraries, for 38 million has been incurred by the provinces versus the budget of 4112. There is a breakdown that shows which provinces, in terms of the quota plan, have over or underspend their budget. We can see there that in terms of the provinces, the Eastern Cape province received 52 million and then spent 51 million. Free State 40 million, but they were able to spend 35 million for the three quarter. Gauteng 68 million, and they overspent by 89 million, which give a difference of 21 million. KwaZulu-Natal, they received 54 and spent 62 million. Limpopo, they received 31 and spent 26. Mpumalanga, 42 and spent 47 million for the quarter. Northern Cape, they received 32 and spent 52 million. Northwest, they received 38 and spent 22. And Western Cape, they received 52 and spend 50 million. But also, if you look at the accumulative from April to December, you can see that all the provinces are still within the budget. the reason for them is that some of them received invoices, whereas the work were already done in the previous month. So as a result, it shows some over and under expenditure in terms of the quarter that we are focusing on. If you go to our public entities, the actual expenditure was 342 million compared to a budget of 392 million for the public entities in the third quarter. The main contributor to the underspending is the transfer of about 50 million which was to be done towards the National Empowerment Fund for the Venture Capital Fund, which was not done because the progress report was not yet submitted at the end of the quarter, of which this progress report was submitted in the fourth quarter and the amount was transferred to NEF after, although it was planned to be transferred in the third quarter. Furthermore, we have got an allocation to our public entities for CAPEX, where it involves repairs and maintenance to their building. In this economic classification, an expenditure of 45 million was incurred versus a planned budget of 105 million. And the main other reason was that an amount of 13.5 million was reprioritized from the Market Theater and the National Film and Video Foundation to needy projects during the adjustment estimate of national expenditure process. Furthermore, urgent transfers were required by Robben Island, which were done in the second quarter as a result of the reprioritization to priority projects to address issues that are related to health and safety, which was a risk in terms of the occupational health and occupational health and safety requirements. Furthermore, the Playhouse Company also sent a request to DAC to reprioritize its capital work allocation to a shortfall for their stage lift project. Funds could only be transferred to the entity upon the approval of the internal submission by the accounting officer and national treasurer. So funds could not be transferred until that approval is obtained from national treasurer. So that delayed and it shows the under expenditure, and those are the reasons for under expenditure towards capital expenditure to our public entities. The non-profit institutions, there's a current expenditure of 29.9 million versus a budget of 36 million. Here in this instance, the under expenditure is as a result of the bulk of the transfer made to culture and creative industry beneficiaries in the first and second quarter of the financial year. On current capital expenditure, transfers of 8 million compared to a projected budget of 2.3 million was incurred in the third quarter. The over expenditure in this was due to the general posted to clear a payment done to the National Heritage Project from a suspense account to an expenditure upon creation of the beneficiary on a basic accounting system. Basically, a payment was already done, but because the item was not created in the general ledger, in what we call the general ledger, it could not be put on the correct classification. Until we obtain approval from National Treasury to create that item, so there was actually not a cash flow, but just a correction of an entry. And if you look at this item for the 9 months, it's still within the budget. On household, an expenditure of 6.4 million was incurred compared to a quarterly projected budget of 2.4 million. The higher than anticipated spending is owing to transfers to higher education institutions towards the bursaries of heritage professionals and a grant in aid transfers made to individuals for the cultural and creative industry project. Here, there was a delay in signing the agreement for the student for the heritage bursaries, which was finalized in the third quarter, and hence the expenditure had to be made after the agreements have been made with the universities. On public corporations, a current transfer of 38 million was made compared to a budget of 13.5 million. The major over expenditure was also here just a journal that was processed to correct the wrong classification of the MGE beneficiaries on the basic accounting system by National Treasury. Correction was made from non-profit institutions to this classification in October. Public corporation capital, there was no expenditure incurred in this item compared to a projected budget of 750,000. The underspending is basically as a result of delays in finalization of MOAs for upgrading of community art centers. For the foreign government and international organization, there is an expenditure of 3.1 million incurred compared to a quarterly projected budget of 500,000 in the third quarter. The major overexpenditure is owing to the late submission of the invoice for the subscription of the department to the Commonwealth Foundation. So the DAC only received the invoice in late September and the payment was therefore only made in October, so which it was actually planned to be spent in the second quarter. On heritage assets, there is an expenditure for 23.6 million, which is only 44% of the projected budget of 54 million. Here also there was a request to reprioritize capital works budget and deterioration of unspent funds from this economic classification during the adjusted estimate of national budget process approved by National Treasury. This is due to the major under expenditure as a result of varied challenges experienced with regards to the implementation of infrastructure capital works for the legacy project. On machinery and equipment, there was an expenditure of 10.4 million which was incurred versus quarterly projected budget of 2.5 million in the third quarter. The over expenditure is owing to invoices only paid to the service provider for the installation of bathrooms, audiovisual equipment and telecom infrastructure equipment based on completed works for the rollout for the rollover funds. Here is that the project was expected to be completed in the second quarter for the installation of those audiovisuals, but was only completed in the third quarter. As a result, we were only able to pay it when the project was completed. On software and other tangible assets, 937,000 expenditure was incurred versus the quarterly projected budget of 2 million. This is due to a journal also posted to correct the classification of the annual renewal of operating and security license, which were incorrectly classified as capital expenditure. So there was no cash flow in this particular item, but only a correction between intangible asset and computers and equipment. On payment for capital assets, for payment for financial assets. In this economic classification, there is an expenditure of 156,000, which was incurred versus a nil projected budget in the third quarter. This expenditure, members, it relates to write-off stemming from damage incurred during the use of hired vehicles on behalf of the departmental officials. This item is also classified as losses to the department and then is registered in the loss register and investigations are done to determine whether the officials were negligent in those particular incidents to determine whether the department must recover the money from the officials who have been found that it was the expenditure was incurred due to their negligence. On higher education institution, an expenditure of 2.6 million was incurred in the third quarter versus a quarterly projected budget of 1.2 million. The high spending is also owing to delay in acquiring expenditure authorization signature by the designated official for the HLT project. The transfer to higher education was projected to take place in September, but instead it took place in the fourth quarter. In summary, the department incurred an expenditure of 1.1 billion 93% versus quarterly projected budget of 1.2 billion in the third quarter. In terms of the annual budget of 4.3 billion reflects an actual expenditure of 3.1 billion, which translates into 73% at the end of the third quarter. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm suspecting you were noting, and let's go to quarter four, because some other things which they were saying, they were overlapping the invoices which were not paid out of 5%, 10%, 1%, and then that 1% corrected in the fourth quarter. We'll see whether it's correct, in order that we must not ask those questions. With your permission, let's go DM to the quarter, fourth quarter. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honorable Member. Indeed, Chair, I think taking the fourth quarter report will then assist members to have a total view of what is happening and then ask questions based on both reports. This report is clear. The only thing is that, again, out of 43 targets that they put themselves on, they have already only achieved 33, but they will explain the reasons and why. But otherwise, the report is straightforward. I think let's take it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DM, DG.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, again, and the Honorable Members. The outline is similar, so maybe we can move away from the outline, Honorable Chair, and look at just the performance overview. The performance overview, as the Deputy Minister have indicated, 24 targets out of 33 were achieved, and 27% of those were not achieved, translating to a figure of 9. Who is this 9? Which of these targets we are referring to? The 9 targets refers, Honorable Chair, to the issue of the work study, which I spoken about again on the third quarter. And then it refers to the feasibility and due diligence on amalgamation, and then the 6 flagship projects and the 10 cultural and creative sector projects. Of course, then the 5 market access platforms and the support of the 65 contact centers and the 6 sector organizations and the 13 capacity building and the digitization of the 3 targets. So in a nutshell, it is almost the same domino effect as I had indicated earlier, Honorable Chair. We will provide the details on pages 25 to 29 of these targets that not achieved. Moving then to the quarter-by-quarter analysis, Honorable Chair, you will see there that quarter one, we were at 85, quarter, and then 15% not achieved. 75 is against 25, and then there was an improvement in quarter 3 of 77 is against 75. But if you look at then the last quarter, it was at 73, which was a decline of 4% from quarter 3. If we look at then the quarter 4 year-on-year comparative analysis, Honorable Chair, you'll see that this quarter was 6% less than the previous quarter of 2017-2018. Now, if we look at then program by program, which program performed at what level, we will see that on administration it's 86%, which means that one target, one, was not achieved. And then on the issue of the IG, it's 86%, and again here is that one target was not achieved. And then if we look at arts, culture, promotion and development, you'll see that that is where the level of non-performance, non-achievement happened at a 50-50 basis. And then we've got heritage and promotion, who had one target not achieved. Honorable Chair, if we look at what we regard as highlights, as part and parcel of the department's program relating to heritage and the recognition of our heritage, the Deputy Minister, Maggie Sotchu, then led an unveiling program of Chief Jongom Sobovu Makoma's grave in partnership with the Eastern Cape and the Amatola District Municipality, as well as the South African Heritage Center and the National Heritage Council and Makoma Legacy Group. Honorable Chair, this is a significant heritage history, and you will find that, in fact, accessing that place as well as the precarious position of the grave of Makoma requires urgent intervention, and that is why this engagement with the kingship was critical, and through the Makoma Legacy Trust. And that is why then we were able to see that Chief Makoma, who was the first black African to be incarcerated at Robben Island as a leader who fought against colonial rule, as well as the efforts to resist and reclaim and resist colonialism and reclaim natives, was a critical issue and remains a critical program of the department working with the Makoma Legacy Trust. But also then there was a launch of a choir at Etegwini Choir League in Durban that was then honored by our Honorable Minister to launch it in KZN. If we look at the next aspect, is that also we had a very crucial summit to deal with the film sector in this country, to make sure how do we transform it, but also gear it for the fourth industrial revolution. As a country, we would like to compete toe-to-toe, if not do better, to Hollywood, Nollywood, Bollywood, and have our own, whether we call it Sollywood or Mzanziwood, it's still a question of what exactly we want. But I think, Honorable Chair, we have all the capacity, we have all the experience, the resources, we've got beautiful natural environment that enables us to be able to have this. So we then had that wonderful Soweto Gospel Choir that was recognized by Honorable President at Market Theatre as one of the highlights here when the President went there and honored that legendary choir who is on the footsteps of Amambazo in terms of the grave. We then had hosted what we call an International Mother Language Day in Khayelitsha in Cape Town by the Deputy Minister then, together with our pencil. But also then in March, the Cape Town Festival is a street parade that showcases and celebrates diversity in Cape Town. And it was one of the key highlights from this time. Getting to the targets that were achieved, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we looking at Program 1, we had a target in the fourth quarter of one community communication and marketing. It's just a repeat there because those targets are consistent. We did indeed one, as expected. And then services that are being modernized. In trying to move away, Honorable Chair, from paper-based, particularly processing of applications, even submission, looking at how we can manage electronically the content enterprise. We had embarked on the modernization of these processes, business processes, and they relate to enterprise content management, the grant management system, and the National Automated Archives Information Retrieval System, which was on phase two. And it was important that we do this. And then we've got the constant one, a compliance issue of greater than 70%. And here we did just a little bit above it, 70.78% of the total value of procurement was awarded to the BBB compliant service providers. If we look at the Izimbizos, the ministers were, even deputy minister, were able to surpass the target instead of 5 to 9. And these Izimbizos, we give a breakdown where they took place, Honorable Chair. Then on the issue of the monitoring, as we had reported earlier, the quarterly monitoring report was submitted and approved. On the issue of the percentage of interns enrolled against the funded post, our target was 5%, and we were able to get 28 interns as against the 408 funded posts, and that translates to 6.8% of what we have. But we can share, Honorable Chair, also that we entered into partnership with EOH to help us to complement this in light of the unemployment of young people particularly. And that is also, it's been one of the successful partnerships with EOH. On the IG, the entity's performance documents approved or reports as part of the oversight, as I indicated, that would normally ask to see their reports. The department, they submitted, department, it was four departmental as well as one entity's performance information reports. We break them down there, which reports are we referring to in this regard. And then the issue of the governance tools, governance framework approved, and this was achieved. CEO's forum, this is to strengthen our collaboration and cooperation between entities and the department, Honorable Chair. We've got institutional arrangement where minister relates to the chairpersons, and then the CEOs relate to the to the DG, and then the CFOs will have their own cluster meeting. So we have a target of one, and we were able to hold that CEO's meeting on the 20th of February, 2019. Cultural diplomacy engagement, five in the fourth quarter was attended, and we were able to do the five, and we give the breakdown of those. So we can see they involved the following countries: Burkina Faso, Kenya, Brazil, Sweden, Namibia, and then we had resourcing opportunities for the arts, culture, and heritage. Honorable Chair, social cohesion projects implemented, the target was three, we were able to do four of those projects. Under ACPD, we've got back to the same target of the number of domains in which terminologies are developed. As we can see there, Honorable Chair, 100 was done in this quarter against 100, and they still talk to road safety terminologies in various languages, indigenous languages. And then, of course, pharmaceutical, which has been the era that has been regarded as too complex, too sophisticated to be captured in African languages. And we're developing those terminologies. Engineering and construction, as well as indigenous plant and animals terminologies. And then, of course, on human language technologies project, the target was six, and we're able to do that six. And then the issue of the translation and or editing. 100% was the target, and we were able to do that. 195 that was received was processed as such. Heritage preservation and promotion, the issue of the Gazette on the standardization of geographical names, the Gazette was passed on the 22nd of March 2019. And then the issue of the living human treasures I spoke about, that we had a target, and as we indicated that in the third quarter, we had won and was not achieved. So in the fourth quarter, then we were able to do the two as a corrective measure. And those are Mama Noria Mabasa from Limpopo, as well as Dr. Esther Matlango from Mpumalanga. And then we moved to heritage infrastructure projects financially supported. That is four, namely the O.R. Tambo Garden of Remembrance, Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela House in Brantford, as well as the J.L. John Langa Dube Ohlange project and the Kananda Memorial Project. We were able to provide the necessary support in those projects. The issue of feasibility study reported that is on resistance and liberation movements museum. The draft report in the fourth quarter was done, and the draft feasibility study report on resistance and liberation is now completed for the museum. The museum that will capture, I think we all know when people talk of Holocaust and all those histories, the Rwandan experiences that they went through in terms of genocide. We need to have our own in this country, something that talks to our liberation, resistance and liberation heritage museum, where the past can never be forgotten, but also never repeated. And that can only be done if you've got memorialized site of this nature. The number of flags installed in schools, the target was 400, and the 400 has been was done. The newly built modular libraries, target was 29, and indeed 29 was done, either newly built in terms of brick and mortar and or modular libraries. Honorable Chair, the performance targets predetermined objectives that were not achieved. As we indicated in the third quarter, that this had a domino effect, because once you delay with the issue of the work study, due to the consultative processes that delayed, we then could not have finalized this project also in the fourth quarter. The progress report indeed was done, and I did, the Director General signed it off on the 29th of March. We can just indicate that there's a corrective measure. What happened was then that we had this project planned now to be finalized in 2019-2020, but as we are aware with the process now for amalgamation, we can't reconfigure how department will look at sports, arts and culture component as DAC without looking at the overall the new department that is envisaged comes the 1st of April. On the institutional governance, there was the issue then of the amalgamation of the DAC entities. As I explained earlier, Honorable Chair, that with the problem of the under budgeting, under projecting that what will this cost, all that then had a domino effect because you needed then to restart the process through the tender. And then what has been done now is that after that initial meeting I referred to earlier of the 17th of January 2019, we had that project plan, and according to the project plan, this will be completed now in the new financial year and the fourth quarter of 2019-2020 in relation to amalgamation of the councils for the entities. We come to the target that I also had indicated in the third quarter in relation to the flagship projects, that we had three flagship projects which were supported as against the six. The budget here, Honorable Chair, as I indicated, got depleted once we had to divert the funds of the 28 million rands, and therefore then it was clear that we could not be able to then finalize some of these projects. The number of cultural and creative sector projects supported through MGE work streams, there was a target of 10, two were then done, and this budget had that impact because it affected the ACPD. This budget was taken from the ACPD, that is program 3. Market access platforms, 5 was targeted, and 2 market access platforms were supported. 10 market access platforms were then done. Sorry, 2 were done as against 5, Honorable Chair. And the issue of the 65 targeted community arts projects supported, we did 54 of these projects that we were able to support in the quarter, and the rest do not meet all the TID requirements that I responded to. And here the problem was more around the issue of complete set of verification sources. Because if you do not have those, we don't pay, even if you were to submit them. So that is what happened there. Then on the number of sector organizations supported, 3 were done, 6 is against 6, and this one was also one of the areas that were affected by that budget. And then on the number of capacity building programs, target of 13 was there, but then the budget affected by the movement of the funds. On heritage preservation and promotion, Honorable Chair, this is now number of collections digitized. We had targeted 3 for the fourth quarter. We did 3. However, Honorable Chair, here, as the House would know, the Portfolio Committee would know, that the planned ones, the Truth and Reconciliation, as well as the Brook Modisani project. Now, the third one was going to be the treason trial, Diktape. We could not do that, Honorable Chair, because there was an urgent request from the NPA to prioritize the case that was unfolding in Johannesburg, the case relating to Ahmed Timor. So the department then had to prioritize that and replace the treason trial data belts in favor of Ahmed Timor. But though it was done, it was not part of the planned target. That is why we're not reporting it as achieved, but we're just reporting that it was done in replacing due to Ahmed Timor, we had to replace that one. Honorable Chair, it is my humble request that then the CFO provide us with the financials for the fourth quarter as he had done in the third quarter.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Again, this report must be looked into two sides. The left side is the 12 months of the financial year, which shows that the department had a budget of 4.3 billion. They were able to spend 4.2 billion, and they underspend the budget by 100 million, which translates into 98%. However, in terms of the quota, the department have projected to spend 934 million.
Can you repeat yourself? The budget of.
I can do that, Chair, with pleasure. I'm saying the budget for the department for the year was 4.3 billion. And the department for the year were able to spend 4.2 billion. And therefore, the department have underspent by 100 million. This 100 million translates into 2% underspending. So the department was only able to spend 98% of their allocated budget. In terms of the quota under review, the department have planned to spend 934 million. I mean, yes, and they actually spent 1 billion, which is 17% more than what they've been budgeted for, but only for the court. And there are explanation why this happened. If we go to slide 34 again, it shows us in terms of the economic classifications where how the department have performed in terms of expenditure, and still in total the same status, 98% of the budget was spent and 2% was underspent. And again, in terms of the total for the 3 months, January to March, 934 was planned, but 1 billion was spent. In terms of the explanations, compensation of employees, the actual expenditure of 6.5 million compared to a budget of 62.6 million in the fourth quarter. So there was an underspending, and mainly the same reason still applies because of the vacant position that have not yet been filled. For the 3 months of January to October, the actual expenditure for goods and services was 76 million, which translates into 95% of the 81.1 million that was planned. The under expenditure in these 3 months was basically due to the anticipated invoices for the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University for Cultural Observatory Research, based on the work, were not yet submitted by the end of the year. And this obviously will create an accruals in the new financial year. There was also outstanding claims from GCIS and DERCO for various events on the interdepartmental arrangement. There were also invoices for NARS and ATOM and Quadriga licenses not yet received by the end of the financial year. And also, in terms of the library consultant, there was also one consultant who have resigned, and as a result, he have affected the planned capital expenditure. On provinces and municipalities, which is the library conditional grant, 307.3 million was planned, and also 307 million was also spent. The following table shows us the spending per province for the quarter and the estimate for the year before the audit process. Eastern Cape, for the quarter, they received 40 million and spent 37.7 million. Free State received 41.1 million and spent 42.9 million. Gauteng received 17 million and spent 43 million. KwaZulu Natal received 36 million and spent 55 million. Limpopo received 24 million, spent 27 million. Mpumalanga received 38 million and spent 20 million. Northern Cape received 25 million and spent 58 million. Northwest received 31 million and spent 47 million. Western Cape received 52 million and spent 53 million. But I would like also members to look at the accumulative for the 12 months that the provinces received as follows and spent as follows. Eastern Cape in total, they received 160 million and spent 154 million, which translates into 96%. Free State received 156 million and spent 89 million. Spent 156 million, which translates into 89.9%. Gauteng received 168 and spent 195, and this translates into 91%. KwaZulu-Natal received 174 and spent 174. Limpopo received 125 and spent 115. Mpumalanga received 162 and spent 162.3. Northern Cape received 159 and spent 185. And Northwest received 136 and spent 118. And Western Cape 176 versus 176. In total, including the rollovers and other adjustments, in total, the transfer to the provinces amounted to 1.5 billion, but they only spent 1.4 billion, which translates into 94.6%. In terms of the public entities of the Department of Arts and Culture, an actual expenditure of 372 million, which translates into 3.1% versus a quarterly projected budget of 335 million for subsidies, was transferred to the various public entities in the fourth quarter. The over expenditure is mainly due to the following: the transfer to the NEF for the Capital Venture Fund upon receipt of a progress report. Remember, in the previous quarter we didn't pay, it shows an underspending. Now we pay them what was supposed to be spent in the third quarter. So in this month or in this quarter, it will show an overspending. Transfer to Freedom Park as a result of the National Treasury requirement approval to increase the entity's operational expenditure contributed to that. On the capital expenditure towards our public entities, the expenditure amounted to 175 million with a projected budget for the 3 months of 117 million. Was incurred. The over expenditure is mainly due to the impact on the project drawings during the adjustment of estimate of national expenditure. An amount of 13.5 million was reprioritized from Market Theatre and the National Film and Video Foundation to NITI project. An amount of 8.4 million was reprioritized from Robben Island Museum during the adjustment budget. On non-profit institutions, there is an expenditure for the quarter of 24.1 million versus a projected budget of 26.4 million. The under expenditure is a result of high volume of transfers made to the cultural and creative industries already in the first and second quarter. For the non-profit institution CAPEX, a current transfer of 8.9 million compared to a budget of 28 million was incurred in the fourth quarter. The under expenditure is due to reprioritization of capital work budget for the National Heritage Project and the upgrading of community art centers to NIDI project in February 2019. National Treasury approval was granted in this particular transaction. On households, an expenditure of 2.1 million compared to projected budget of 5.8 million was incurred. The low spending is owing to high volume of granting aid transfers made to beneficiaries of cultural and creative sector in the first and second quarter. On public corporation current expenditure, transfers of 12.5 million compared to a budget of 13.9 million was incurred in the fourth quarter. The under expenditure is owing to high volume of transfers made to MGE beneficiaries project in the first and second quarter. Public corporation capital expenditure related transfers, there was 875,000 incurred versus to a projected budget of 2.9 million in the fourth quarter. The negative projection is as a result of the reclassification of the upgrading of community arts centers budget from economic classification to non-profit institution in line with the standard chart of accounts requirement. This therefore necessitated environment approval by National Treasury during the AENE process. The foreign government and international organization, there was an expenditure of 159,000, which translated into 36% of the planned 444,000. This was mainly due to the transfer for African World Heritage Fund, which were based on the signed MAO as per the entity's needs and finalized after the submission of the drawing at the beginning of the financial year. The final tranche was therefore made in November 2018 and instead of March 2019. Heritage asset, an expenditure of 6.8 million was incurred versus quarterly projected of 49.4 million. Approval from National Treasury to reprioritize capital works budget and declaration of unspent funds from this economic classification during and post the adjustment estimate of national expenditure process was granted. This therefore resulted in a sort of a negative projection. An expenditure of 496 million was incurred versus a 4 million quarterly projected budget. Also in this, approval by National Treasury to reprioritize capital works from economic classification during and post adjustment ENE process was granted. On machinery and equipment, there was an expenditure of 2.8 million, which translated into 22%, was incurred during the quarterly projection of 12.5 million in the fourth quarter. The under expenditure is owing to invoices paid in the third quarter to the service provider for the installation of bathroom audiovisual equipment and telecoms infrastructure based on the completed work. On buildings and other fixtures, an expenditure of 35.8 million was incurred versus a zero projection. The expenditure relates to a general posted to correction of classification of the HVAC project in line with the standard chart of account from heritage asset to the correct economic classification. The payments for financial assets, this item, there was a 35,000 that was incurred versus a nil projection. And this expenditure, as explained previously, is in relation to spending on hired vehicles on behalf of the departmental officials. It's also registered on the loss register, and an investigation is done to determine if the officials were negligent and a recovery process will be implemented. On higher education and on higher education institution, an expenditure of 1.2 million was incurred in the fourth quarter versus a -218,000 projection. The high spending is owing to delays in acquiring expenditure authorization signature by the designated official for the human language technology project. The transfer to the higher education institution was projected to take place in September. In total, the department incurred 1.1 billion versus a quarterly projected of 934,000 in the fourth quarter. In terms of the annual allocation of 4.3 billion, the department was able to spend 4.2 billion, which translated into 98% at the end of the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Honorable members, this is the time that you must engage with the two presentations, but let me announce that you allowed honorable members and our department and guests to grab a tea and sit down. I'm suspecting we don't have time to say that let's go for tea, just grab and sit down. There are those who are just arriving today, and we are allowed to do that. This is the time. Let me thank the department about the two presentations, and then I'm suspecting once the other members didn't have chance to read, but at least the presentation and the documents in front of us does assist us a little bit. Now is the time for discussions, honourable members, questions, suggestions, and way forward to our development. I've seen the hands.
This old man.
He can't be a young man.
You know, this old man tends to. I wonder, are you going to ask questions today? Or one question? But nonetheless, thank you, Chair. I'm from Johannesburg, and my question will be based on the issues that I know and what I've seen even in the report. And I wanted to find out who's the creating director for Market Theatre. I need the name and everything. And that position, was it clearly advertised, and how was the process being followed, especially on the appointment of the specific individual? Were there any gaps and challenges that we must know? And one of the things, Chair, why I'm raising this firstly, I think this department must be open to us. If things are bad in Mzala, tell us that things are bad in Mzala. We cannot have a department, especially I did accounting one. You always correct overlapping payment without channels, but there's payment over budgeting, under budgeting. That is not clear accounting. You don't even use GREP. Now, there must be monitoring and evaluation. Clearly it shows that there's no monitoring and evaluation. But Chair, I want the department to be honest enough. This is August. How far are you with the audit? What is the status of the audit? What were the challenges? Why did it delay out of all departments? Why did it delay? Let us be open and be frank with us so as we win the oversight work. Chair, I wanted to find out regarding Iskatamiya fund. How much was it allocated? Can we get the details? Per year, how much was it allocated? And as your presentation, it's not even covering per quarter, but how much did they use? Let me go to the hot potato, Golden, Mzansi Golden. Is Mzansi Golden an effective project or program? Economically, do we benefit? Can the department exactly explain, are you part of or are you hosting a Spirit of Praise, which was in KwaZulu-Natal? If yes, how much is allocated? And how do we do monitoring and evaluation on that? Let me go back to Mzansi Golden Economy. How much was it allocated for Lady Smith Mambazo? And it was allocation was over 3 years. I need to find out per financially how much was it? And then this financial year, how much was it allocated? And how much was used? Or was it under budgeted? Was it over budgeted? Or did not have record? When I say channel, you cannot pay something which is not on the channel. You use the different way that you had to create it. To me, it's a channel that you pay something which you did not even create. How much was it paid for National Empowerment Fund? or how much is allocated for National Empowerment Fund? And then how much is allocated, approved by the committee, allocated to the same National Empowerment Fund? And how much was used, not approved by the committee? I wanted to get more information regarding USIBA Cultural Award. Same scenario. How much was it allocated for this financial year? How much was it the expenditure? And what is the relationship with the department? Regarding a living legend, I think same issues. How much was it allocated? How much was it budgeted for? How much? I need details, Chair. Sorry to bother the committee because it's not the report is not telling me, and I'm new, and I must know these things. Oh, the deputy saying I'm reading City Press. She'll tell me more about City Press. She'll tell me more about City Press, and it's better for the deputy to tell us. I'm speaking, Chair. Sorry, apology.
I'm saying in OPM and yourself, you did respond to them.
Chair, I understand UTM was an oversight leader. Now, this time she's that side. She must account to us. And she's Ufana Nami. Now, I want to hear, will she account now? She will call. Let's not go back there. I wanted to find out, Chair. Let's not read Guma City Press get DM. Tell us more what exactly is happening. I wanted to find out regarding the song, New Dawn. Is the department involved with the song, Yaga President? Did they allocate any fund? The President Ramaphosa, the New Dawn. There's a song which it's under culture, and I wanted to find out that. Regarding all beneficiaries within the department, I think the beneficiary which applied, the beneficiary that... I'll ask two questions. You know, Chair, why I'm using this? The minister failed to respond to my written question. No, I'm just saying, Guti, I'm using this opportunity for me to... I'll ask question, and I... No, I wanted just to say why I'm using this opportunity. I don't get responses from the minister. I've written several questions, I don't get formal written question. Now this opportunity committee, I'm using that. But let me have only last two questions. The first one, out of all beneficiaries, you have walk-ins proposal that coming to the department, and your target was 8. Did you achieve all of them? Can we name all those walk-in proposal which you've approved, which they've benefited only for this financial year? Do we have any investigation that we must be aware of, especially for officials who have been suspended or going under any DCs in the department? Do we have any investigation that is subpoenaed by SIU that is investigating the department? I'll hold it there. But one thing that I wanted to say, you see, one of the things for us to have an oversight work, that is my last comment. You cannot say 2% is not important, but you've underspent with 2%, which is 100 million. And that underspending, which is not justified. And I'll ask the chair to give me second bite after the response. Thank you, Chair. I'll respect you.
Those members who I knew must know this fifth parliament member and that other fifth parliament member who I knew now. Their style of doing things. You must not be surprised, but you must learn how they are doing things. No, I didn't cut you, Honorable Mhlonga. Honorable Njaisa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I don't know. Honorable Mhlonga has got a tendency of saying I don't ask questions. But I don't have to ask questions this morning. For the sake of asking questions, I don't do that. So you must know the order of the land. Chairperson, so these are good presentations, report, straightforward. They say in English, good one needs no push. But I've got only a few questions to ask. It's against your spirit, so wrong. DJ, you say you have got vacancies now that could not be filled by the budget yet. So I want to check, but as you say now, you understand because of these vacancies that could not be filled. So I want to check that one. Was it because of the late advertising, or perhaps what is it now that takes so long now for these vacancies now to be filled here? Because in other departments, there's a tendency of not filling in the budget as opposed to the vacancies. So if I can just tell me, why does it take long now to complete or to fill these vacancies? Then again, question number two regarding the social cohesion project. So you had 12, then you achieved 3. 3 were implemented. It was a good achievement indeed. Then can you just give now one or two examples now of these social cohesion projects that you talk about? Thank you very much.
See, two questions only.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one that does not get to be written back, the letters that I write to the ministry. I'm new here and I am living the art world even now. It's my reality. I want to know the possible reasons as to why the targets are not achieved, and can it be explained? Is it human error or just people lazy to do their job? On the slide 16 of the third quarter, we're talking about royalties being given to artists the middle time. How were those artists compiled, and how did they get to be paid? And were the only artists that were paid within the pool of hundreds of other artists, young and old? On the slide 23, put the monies that were channeled for the school flags. Will it be maybe a very positive thing to actually look at the betterment of the school toilets that are still in squalor conditions in rural areas and in other poor black areas in our society? Again, on this slide 38, we talked about the late submissions of these. Is it also still because it looks like monies are being accrued by these late submissions. How can it be stopped, and what could be the best solution towards it? I don't know this venture capital fund. Can it be explained? And the Robben Island issue. It is not accessible to the poor black kid. And
did you hear the other question of
the venture capital fund?
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, the accessibility of the Robben Island to the young and black kid, because it is a horror story for those who are older than us, and but still it's a boogeyman for the coming generation. I think they need to know what's going on and what happened. And these suspense accounts, aren't they not the creation of this corruption that we are facing in our departments. I just want to find out how they are being created and why they are created to be able to get things done. Chair, I'm sorry, just two more questions. Okay, Chair. Slide, I think the slide 12, we're talking about on the fourth quarter, talking about the I don't know how to put this question, but there is someone that is not being recorded as in our history, like Ulanga Libale, the one that was one of the first to be incarcerated in Robben Island in that horror story, and he is the king of the biggest ethnic group of South Africa, Amahlubi. Can it be also being taken seriously as to his legacy everything about him? Can it also be taken seriously? And for the last one, these festivals that are being done for social cohesion, or that I've been being part of them for the last years, and I'm seeing the same people are running them. Do we do some oversight to the plans that they were created for? Are they working? Is there a social cohesion going? Is there a development of the young kids that should be learning from them, or money to be given to them? Because it looks like only the same people that have been doing them, and they're still doing them, and they are getting bigger and bigger and richer and richer. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Thanks, Chief. I don't want to lower the standard. I live about 25.
You won't beat the record.
Chair, just for my own sake, my education. Why do you refer to Honorable Soto as the former minister when you are reporting for third and fourth quarter? Just for my education. And my daily song, what is the impact? If we say we have performed somewhere, we've even overperformed. Are we able to evaluate the impact? I don't know whether it's the way or it's the formula. Where we have overperformed, if I may refer to that, where we have overperformed in some instances even by more than 100%, but we still say we've performed 100%. I'm not sure whether it's the formula. And this question is related to whether we're overperforming or under-targeting. Because if we say we're going to deliver 4 and we end up delivering 20, to me it's not necessarily overperformance, but it means we have under-targeted. Now I'm just generalizing on this one. There are provinces or entities where you have transferred money. My question is, one, is it by law that you are not allowed to transfer the whole tranche at once? Because staggering it has some impact, as we've seen in the report. And where you say we've implemented, like we've been completed a library, even if it's not today, Marie, but in future, can we know where is that library? So that when we want to check, if it's in my province, I can go and check where the library is. And all these other projects, where we say we have a project, can we be informed of the exact place where there's a project now? And in terms of expenditure, how do you deal with savings? If you have saved, is it under what? Is it, do you regard it as under expenditure? Because if I budget for 100 million, but by chance I manage to save 2 million, how do you classify that, Honorable Mkhongo, accounting 101? And if there is a compelling reason to shift the budget, are we not allowed to review the plan? For example, somewhere, I guess there was a compelling reason to shift the budget to a court order, to settle the court order. But the target still remained as if you still have the whole amount. Now, if there's a compelling reason to shift the budget, it's not a compelling case to review the plan. And also, maybe just to clarify us as to, if you say we've shifted this money for court order, how much of that money? Because I see a number of votes where you have redirected the budget to settle the court order. How much of that was redirected to settle the court order? Now, there's a, and it's my assumption because I'm new in this sector or dealing with this department, there's a trend of under expenditure, in some cases over expenditure. Is it not as a result of our systems? Is it not time that we look at our systems? Because and how we determine our targets and how we budget. My last question in this round, Chair, is maybe one needs to be advised, how do we calculate the targets? I saw in a summary, in a graphic form, the DG was saying administration, for example, had 7 targets. But when I add those targets, I get something like 12. Maybe just for one to be schooled as to how do we calculate the target, and we can use administration in the fourth quarter as an example. Thanks, Chair.
Can you just with your first question?
Less than 25.
Thank you, Chief. On quarter 3, slide 15, it is mentioned about the royalties payout to local artists. Chair, you will remember that I sent you a letter on the repeat fee of actors, and I wonder if we can also get maybe clarity how we as a committee is going to address that, it's payments that must be paid by the SABC, but I think the actors is also part of the department. Slide 20. I would like the number of target group programs supported. If we can just get more information on that, where were these held, who attended, and what was achieved. Then with regard to the bursaries on page 22, slide 22, at the bottom it says that we overachieved these 509 bursaries, but the annual target was 300. Now I want to know, if we overachieved, but on slide 45, on the household, it reflects on also on the bursaries, and it says that we overspend. I want to know, how can we give people 509 bursaries? Where was it budgeted for if the target was 300? If someone can just explain that to me. The issue on the flags we already mentioned, but if it is possible, can we somewhere just get a breakdown per province, and what is the cost of this project? Because it would also be, we also want to know if there was any challenges with regards to this specific project, because in the past apparently there were a few challenges. Then slide 24, when will the department table the South African Public Library and Information Bill? I think it's important that we also know that. On slide 26 and 7, it's referred to the court order, and I would like the department to give us some background on this. On the same topic, maybe we can get an update on all the investigations in the Department of Arts and Culture, and with specific referral to the National Arts Council, the Nation Library, Robben Island, South African Heritage Resources Agency, and the Mzansi Golden Economy. On those five specifically, I would like to get information. Then on slide 38, the payment for international travel claims received from DIRCO. Can you give us a breakdown of all those flights? Where to? Who? I'm not sure if you've got that information with you, but we would like to get, was it first class? Was it domestic flights? Can we get more information on all these flights? Then slide 40. Reflects on the overspending of the provinces, and it was also reflected on in quarter four. My question is, if they overspent in both these quarters, did they underspend in the previous ones? How come are they not held to the budget that they present to the committee? Because if I can just overspend, who's holding me accountable for this? Did they underspend in quarter one and two? How come are they allowed to underspend like they do? Then, on the fourth quarter, I've got slide 27. No. First slide 16. I want to know on slide 60, the Izimbizo project, it indicated that more events were held than the five planned. What was the financial implication of this, and why, who came to that decision to actually host more than was intended? Then, also in program two, I want to know if there's any of the entities that at the moment functioning with a council in proper council in place. On slide 22, maybe I must ask on slide 19 also, there's a, at the bottom it says social cohesion and projects implemented, and if you can just explain to us what does that entail. Alright, and then on 22, I would like to know what is the status of the Winnie Mandela house in Bedford. Can we get a proper update on that? And the last question is, on slide 27, we mentioned projects that were supported, but it doesn't say where were these projects and geographically, and also in this slide it was mentioned about that court issue, and I would like to know how that impact on the programs that was actually supposed to be funded with that money. What is the implication of that court case? I'm being very curious to know what court case it is. Thank you. That will be enough for now.
Thank you, Honourable Sanjay. Sometimes members, they are thinking that being the chairperson, you must just chair as if you must not contribute. These documents, I do read them and I have the right to contribute. But at least, honorable members, when they ask so much questions, some are uncovered. I'm having just two questions. Honorable Jaisa, honorable DM and the he was not part of our last meeting. We have asked about this, the members asked about this questionnaire vacancies that they need, that by today we're supposed to get information. We've said you must email. There was this question and it was said they adverts and everything, because even last time you didn't hide that you have got a problem of this nature, and the committee asked that by today we are supposed to have that information. I'm reminding you whoever was supposed to do he was not going to, maybe he was going to raise it. He was not part of the meeting. The only thing that I want to ask Eddie on the honorable members, when we have like honorable Knox, when we have a target of 36 and then the province exceeded to 56, do you have an adjustment in order that you must cover those overspending? We need to be learned, because I've seen one province, it was supposed to have 36. He was saying maybe they are under put targets, underscoring it or whatever, but I was writing down that when under targeted, when we are saying the target is 36 in the province, and the province spent about 56 out of that 36. So in order that we must know why there are these underspending and overspending, I'm just adding because this question has been raised by everyone. So far, I'm giving to the DM and the entourage. Thank you so much. The one thing in order that I must not come, sometimes DM and DG and the everyone, members, they do sometimes write to me. I don't know whether they've exhausted the letters and responses to the minutes. I must declare, I'm somebody who just opened. I took all the letters of the members and everyone that is writing to me. I was saying today to these officials, especially these two, saying that I'll sit with my department, honorable members. You must not think that I don't want to respond, but some of these letters I was saying that they are not supposed to be written to the chairperson, but I don't want to be part of somebody saying that you don't respond. As I'm sitting here, honorable members, I'll meet with my department and present all the letters in order that we must start with a clean slate in order that we must remind each other, because there are things that I cannot respond. But immediately that you return to me, you're also challenging me now. So with that, umoya wesonto, I'll sit with the officials of my department and of your department and present those letters. We'll look on it. Not again that we are not going to get a response. Because sometimes you do write a letter and to me as a chairperson. So on that DG and DM, I will be having a session with your staff in order that we must correct that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Member. I'll allow the DG and the team to respond to the questions and clarities that have been asked, and then I'll come at the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The Creative Director for Market Theatre is Mr. James Ngobo. How he's appointed, we are not responsible for appointment of staff in the entities, Honourable Mthombo. So maybe that question I would request that it might be directed to the Market Theatre itself. And then on the issue of Mzansi Golden Economy, whether it's defective or is it not effective, Honourable Chair, I can indicate that the department did what we call appointment of a research arm, and that research arm is SACO, South African Cultural Observatory. So that they do two things. One, mapping studies of the sector in terms of its contribution to the economy, employment, both at the local and the countrywide level. And then we then give them programs, for instance, the artists in schools, to check whether there was any impact of such program. So we do have those reports from SACO, which do indicate the impact, which is quite positive in relation to the Mzansi Golden Economy on those areas. But in the past, that issue of impact have always been a concern, and we did not have a scientific way except to say how many people were employed, how many people at the local level. But we needed a scientific assessment of the programs. And that is why now we've got South African Cultural Observatory that deals with research, including impact at that level. But also, we can be able to provide those reports. And I'm sure that the Honorable Chair is also aware, because this house that has invited SACO to come here, they can be able to present some of the impact assessments they've done in some of the programs of the MGA. The other questions, we will share them, Honourable Chair, so I will request Honourable Members to, if there is any missing, but my colleagues are here, will share those. Are you part of Spirit of Praise? It is my understanding that, but just can talk to that we provide detail, Chair. Mr. Mabaso will deal with that. And then Amambazo. Amambazo, we have a contract with them over 3 years. And the budget is 12 million rand. The program talks to the establishment of what we call the Mobile Academy throughout the country. Identification of talent and new groups, and training of the issue of the Isicathamiya, particularly because of the way in which their success has been throughout the world. So we do have their reports, Honorable Chair, on what they have done to date, because we pay on the basis also of, as we said, it's first tranche, second tranche. So we give them a first tranche and then you get a second tranche when they submit a report. The breakdown of how much has been given there, I think we should be able to provide that. I don't have it offhand, but the responsible DDG is here. He can just get that information now before we leave it, as we have it on hand, but we have that information. The NEF is a venture capital, Honorable Chair, as you're asking what is. So I think it has been asked by more than two members. It's a national empowerment fund partnership with the department. The budget for that was 100 million rands, and of that we had to then divide it over the years. And I must remember, Honorable Chair, that this program started after what I had explained before, that there was a research conducted quite early, before even 2015. That research was asking, what do the creatives believe are their impediments and challenges in the country? That research came with three things that I can remember of heard. One was that they have a problem of access to financing. The second was that they've got a problem in relation to resources that they need in order for them to practice their specific cultural programs. Platforms are too expensive, technology is not accessible to them, all those things. And then, of course, the issues of training and capacity building, because they find themselves locked into unfavorable contracts. So the NEF then was aimed, that fund was then established through a process which is called a tender process. It was advertised. We've got those records of when it was advertised on what newspapers. After the tender process, and this was done in consultation with the National Treasury, and that is why they were part and parcel of the process of finalizing the appointment. And in that competition, then NEF was the successful bidder. There was then the allocation of the 100 million rand, working in line with government spending, that it will be done over 3 years. So as of the close of the financial year last year, end of financial year, 75 million rand has been transferred to NEF. The 25 million is to be transferred this financial year. So that is the status of that. And they have submitted to us a very detailed report on adjudication, on the applications received, adjudications done, projects that have benefited, a full breakdown check. So I just want to clarify that venture capital is in the hands that seems to manage it quite professionally and accounting on everything. They have that full breakdown, so if it's needed, we can submit their report. Usiba Awards and the relationship between the department. There was a realization that artists, creatives, are recognized all over the world, and they are revered
in our African countries. South Africa has got only, in fact, one form through government, and that is through Ikamang, where we look at the national honors. But a number of South African creatives have made a huge impact, have achieved a lot. But this department was being accused of only recognizing these artists when they passed on. If you know, there's been that attack that we go there to cry, and then we start saying, yeah, it was great. We have all these other awards called the OSADMA, all of them, but it's not really government on behalf of people of South Africa saying thank you. So the concept then was that we'll have a ministerial award, so, and we need to find a name. But that was the concept of the department about what are the ministerial awards. And because there is a what we call a creative, cultural creative federation of South Africa, CIFSA, and among their responsibilities is recognition of the they were then given a responsibility to have the one way or the other a form to honor all the creatives that we can be done possibly. And then they came with the introduction of Usiba Ministerial Awards. So we then provided money to CIFSA for them to implement that. The Living Legends Legacy Project. This is a project, Honorable Chair, that was aimed at looking at how best to make sure that the creatives who are 70 years and above do not loiter and twiddle their fingers from sunrise to sunset. What can be done by them, by themselves, in order to continue to practice as creatives? So, other than just using this concept of having the intergenerational practices where they train and transfer knowledge to the younger ones. So the Living Legends concept then was formed and establishing what we call a Living Legends Legacy Trust. The money that was then allocated was 20 million rand. Of that 20 million rand, we transferred 8 million rand. After transferring the 8 million rand, which they have banking details because they've got a board, and the board then identified signatories who opened the bank account. So the money then was transferred to the Living Legends Legacy Trust, and that was 8 million rand. The question might have a twist in the tail, Chair, that maybe I should address. Because after the transfer of the money then was moved out of the account, and the case was opened that the fraud is to have happened. And there was one of those board trustees who is a signatory was then arrested. And then the case is sub judice. So we have not yet transferred the balance of the 12 million because the account got closed while the matter is under investigation. But the department remains committed because the cause is a noble one. And you can have our living legends living from hand to mouth when they are provided with an opportunity to have their own programs
and this money was very clear as a seed funding that they should not use it for anything else but to create and generate more income through their own programs. I have no knowledge of the New Dawn song, where the department is involved. So as I stand here, I can submit that we're not involved in any new song for the president. The investigations in the department and suspensions, I can indicate that yes, when the department receives reports of wrongdoing, we do conduct those investigations. There are officials who are on suspension. Some of the cases have been finalized, and the others are currently ongoing. So we are definitely having that two senior officials who are on suspension. The other one who was placed on suspension, the case has been closed, it's finalized. The others are not on suspension, but the cases are going on because there was no basis for suspension. There is no SIU investigation that I know of the report of the within the department or conducted around the department. What I know is that SIU had conducted some investigation and they handed recently handed a report to the president, and which was then given to the department to say that we must provide report on what was done. And it relates to matters that some of them are quite old, but it looks like there were things that were not finalized, while others have been finalized. So we had to provide that report on what has been done since that SIU report. But those are old matters. So the other issue was then the request by SIU, where there was an indication that one of the entities or the institutions, if I'm correct, we needed to check whether they have been complying with the beneficial monies that were transferred to them. And we had to appoint then the investigating people to just help us investigate, so there's an objective process to determine if the funds transferred were used for the purpose intended, and complying with the contractual obligations that the department enters into with that institution. So that process is currently undergoing, but maybe the CFO can talk if there's anything more. Why the posts have not been filled? Chairperson, we had 61 posts. Maybe I must just indicate, I thought that my DM will talk to that. We should be able, the acting DDGM is here around the issue of the social cohesion projects. What we did not do, Honorable Chair, was to bring the big report, which we thought maybe if there was as was indicated earlier before that there might be induction, should be able to do, bring those at that level. But we do create what we call a hyperlink, where we have the breakdown. Even now, I think with the libraries, Honorable Chair, Lula, if you've got that report on the breakdown. Not here, if the old one. Yes, we can provide that breakdown on locality where those things are.
Just a moment, DJ. I don't want to follow up on what you have just said. I'm hearing you talking about induction.
induction, what induction? Last time was said when about two members asked this, what you are talking about, we said it is the advert and the cause the way. Last time we said only two that have been managed to be employed. They've asked a report, but I don't know about induction.
Chair, I think let's separate the two things. The issue of what the chair is raising, what I said, I requested the DM will talk to the compensation of employees. The induction I was talking about department engagement portfolio committee about the portfolio of the department. On the issue raised by Honorable Madlingozi, or why targets are not achieved. If we look at the columns where we've entered targets achieved, not achieved, we break down the reasons. However, I think the pertinent question was what are the corrective measures in that regard to avoid that from happening. Honorable Chair, I had indicated that with the challenge of the contractual obligations, where you will say that the service provider is losing money, and then they run a project on the 24th or in the month of March, but the contract says you must report in 30 days. That means if you did that contract, if you did that event 15th of March, we only paid you 90%, and therefore your report will only be due in the next quarter in April. You then don't have a proper alignment. And we then have looked at this and said we need to align this, and I indicated that there is what we call technical indicator descriptors, which we need to revise so that things are aligned. Because I think I can agree that maybe that is where we might have also made those errors. So we are realigning to make sure that contractually the beneficiary is compelled to report within the quarter, or if not, their target is not reported in that quarter because you will not be having complete evidence submitted at the time. But if you look at the breakdown of the reasons for and corrective measures, we do indicate that. Now, but also then to indicate, Chair, that the others we indicated earlier that because of our, what the Honorable Madlingozi correctly pointed, did we under fund or is it planning? If you look at that, you will see that if we were projecting to spend less than 500, but the quotations comes at above 500, you have to redo things.
Excuse me, UDG is presenting or answering. This information is important, so I don't want that the officials will be seeing up and down. They were trying to put the on the screen the what are these things? The list of the libraries. So it must be done quietly. With due respect, DG.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Now, on the school flags, or the royalties, Honorable Chair, the royalties, we were just reporting because I think there was a question also about payment by SABC. I remember the collection societies are the ones that have to distribute the royalties. SAMRO, AMPRA. So this one is what there was a breakthrough between SABC and one of the collection societies. And then they were able to distribute, but I'm not sure to date how much have they distributed to who. These were examples of what was done on that day to indicate that there was that breakthrough, because one of the biggest problems is that the artists' monies are not getting back to them, their royalties. And the minister was working on pushing quite hard to support any initiative that will help get this breakthrough. So those are just examples of what was done at the time during the period of this report. But I hope that I think it's AMRA that was able to do this, and that they should be able to, we should be able to maybe go back to them. To, is there any update on how many more have benefited from the disbursement of those royalties? The school flags, I think vis-a-vis the toilets, it might be the same question, toilets vis-a-vis houses. You might have a problem. Makanda might say, why houses when we don't have water? It's about government have got what we call budget votes. So departments are allocated budget according to their mandate. And that division of revenue, we need to adhere and use the money for those purposes, honorable members. So it is not because we can't act outside of our mandate to go and make toilets instead of supporting the creative sector. That is just the issue, the honorable members. But maybe it's a bigger question about prioritization of government, whether, maybe the DM can talk to that, really. I think it's more political than, because we don't deal with toilets as a department. Of course, the one of the late submissions and how it's going to be stopped. Honorable Chair, we have, if you look at our target, that talks to modernization of business processes and introducing the system. Already internally, our submissions are electronic submissions now. But we realize that there is a problem of responding to the beneficiaries and clients. And we decided to start the process of a track and trace, and we're working with CETA, so that people do not wait forever, but are able to submit and get applications. If it's received, we're able to say your application has been received electronically using the SMS system. And then from there, if it is adjudicated, we're able to tell you it is at this stage. And then after that, we're able to tell you education has been done and we are happy that you have been successful, or it's regrettable that you have not been successful. So that is that is why I talk to grant management system. We thought it's better to do it that way. It also helps to remove too much subjectivity on the matter. So we are pleased with that in terms of what is being done. In fact, the system is ready. I then have to engage us with, because we need to also have to have what we call a barcode system that will, when you scan the application, it's got a barcode that is linked to the number of the application. But we have done everything with the CETA, and the system is ready to improve how we respond to claims. Because I don't know how much time, let me move with speed so that my colleagues can take over what they have to deal with. CFO will deal with the issue of suspense account. Robben Island, I know this question was raised even before, Honorable Chair, and I did say that we can only engage with Robben Island because they've got their models of how they determine cost. I subsequently did that. I spoke with the CEO of Robben Island, and he indicated that there is a sliding scale for tourists vis-a-vis the tickets for the locals. But I think as I indicated in the term, maybe the bigger question is, how can this be massified without Robben Island going down, not able to make a break even? Because it costs money to move people from a VA to the island and back. To deal with that balancing act is what we still agreed with them, that we will engage further. But I did brief the CEO of that issue raised by honorable members. There was then a question of the festivals on social cohesion festivals, whether why is it the same people. Honorable Chair, these festivals mostly are festivals that are regarded as flagship projects, but I think Mr. Mabazo will talk to them. Honorable Chair, and I think it's one of those that we did an impact assessment, and that is why at some point Minister was here, he spoke to detail about the impact of the National Arts Festival. And I think he can talk to that. I think the CFO have noted the other questions relating to budget, and Mr. Ndima on questions relating to Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela or heritage matters. The court order, I think the CFO can talk to that, but it was about opic conceivia matter. We can just give the detail a little bit. CFO and Ms. Moss can talk to that one. But the amount, I kept repeating the amount, Honorable Chair, that it is 28 million rands that we were talking about in this regard. But the CFO can break down how did it get to 28 million rands. I agree that we should be able to. Or Mr. Ndima will talk to the transfers, why whole amount is not done, is it by law? I hope Mr. Ndima are noting that. And then, is it possible to review or to shift the budget in line with the predetermined objectives that are achieved? I think, Honorable Chair, the government's planning is mainly a pro-rata government, that we are told you must budget 25%, spend 25% per quarter. But I think what the Honorable Chair is saying is one of the remedies we thought we must deal with. So how do we deal with from the start? We budget that if we know that Human Rights Day is going to happen in March, you can't say you will spend that amount of money for Human Rights Day in March because the cost will only come in April. So it doesn't make sense. How do you project to spend money of Human Rights Day in that quarter when you can only pay in the first? So the DM was just advising on those areas also to say, let's realign. So I agree that it might be that issue, and we move away from the strict issue of 25%, whatever, but we look at when do you actually spend. But the CFO can talk to that because he's a guru of that. How do we count targets? I tried to check, Chair, on quarter four, and then if we go to that, it would seem that we are on track unless there is a mistake we made. But I tried to check. If we look at the breakdown under administration, are we unable to project? Okay. But under administration for the fourth quarter, it says that one target was not achieved out of seven. And when I go down to the breakdown of achieved and not achieved. And it will come to then seven, six achieved, then not achieved. It is the progress report on the work study. But we might just look at whether if you add, because we target, when we talk of target, we look at the annual and say how many we should deliver. But I think we can just look into that call then come back to you and check. On the issue of the why do we refer to the DM as a form? If maybe when we were now submitting here, we now have a UTF, but this report is about the previous financial year. Maybe we should have just kept it when we were just saying, okay, we're coming here. Are we current or are we outside of the current? So we that was the issue, Honorable Chair. I think that the questions that were relating to the number of slides and where and how, we can only ask the chair, we provide that breakdown, because that will be the issue. The salaries bill, Mr. Ndima will talk to that, but I can confirm that, Honorable Chair, Minister NTM had indicated that these are things we must submit to Parliament urgently. And that is one of the bills, as well as the white paper that needs to move, and therefore then we will do that. The request for all investigations reported that be provided, I think those are details we can only provide after the meeting. CFO will talk to provinces over spending and on them, and then as well as the issues around the easing visas and where is the money coming from. I think, Chair, I have tried my best. The last question by the Honorable Chair will then be also responded to, once it's about compensation of employees by the Honorable DM. Can I then request that maybe CFO, you start?
Can we get with DM first? Or you said you were going to close. Okay, CFO.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable DM and members. The DG did cover some of the issues, and I will just touch some of the, the DG touched some of the things. In terms of the accounting system, Honorable Mohlongo, the government department use what we call modified accounting standards. It's not GRAP, so it's not accruable. It's a cash accounting system. And as a result, it is not in a textbook that we use at the varsity. There's no theory that teaches you modified cash accounting. It's a system that government have developed in such a way that when we prepare the financial statement, people can read and understand them, introducing the concepts of accruals and payables so that you can at least make sense out of what you see. And then in terms, you also asked a question on the NEF, which the DG didn't cover all of it. You asked how much we gave them, DG covered that, but how much they have used so far is 11.38 million. In terms of the report as at the 31st of March 2019. And then the suspense account, Honorable Madlingozi, is not it cannot be used in government for corruption, because each and every transaction, it must be accounted for. All items in the suspense account, you list them and explain why you put that transaction into the suspense account, and Treasury is monitoring that, because at the end of each financial year, the suspense account must be zero. There must not be any item left in the suspense account. So you are not even allowed. We do it knowing that they will get an opportunity to do reconciliation and shifting of funds, and we have always have to have a good reason why we are using them. There was also a question on the fact that the issue of overachievement and under targeting is that in most cases where there is a reasonable demand to do certain additional projects, we receive requests from the line function to see whether those particular projects can be done within the available budget, because sometimes you do project a plan that you're going to spend a certain particular amount, but they come out at a lesser amount, and it gives you an opportunity where it's applicable to do extra activities. But everything is done in accordance to the book. when I presented the financial statements or the quarter expenditure report, because those are not financial statements, Mr. Mhlongo, it's an expenditure report. We'll present the financial statement with together with the annual report when we come back for that. But when I was explaining the expenditure report, I said I asked members to look at the 9 months and the 12 months, excluding the quarter, because the quarter will always have the unders and overs. But if you look at the accumulated report, you can see that the department is monitoring the budget. The reason why we are transparent using the quarter estimate is to make sure that if the land function have planned to do certain projects in that 3 months, if they don't do them, they need to explain to management what happened, so that on quarterly basis we track the expenditure so that it talks to the activities of the department. So for everyone to see, we did not hide that last column too. If there was an intention, we could have just shown the accumulated figure, which does not indicate what was happening in the 3 months. So basically we want to show even the Honorable Committee that there was an interaction and things did not go according to plan. For example, if you look at Program 1, there's an issue that the work study was not completed. So if you see an under expenditure under Program 1, it will go in line to say, because they've not completed the process, we have not yet paid them. So the performance always talk to the expenditure pattern, Honorable Chair. My colleague will also touch on the provincial grant, but just to indicate that the provincial grant is operated under what we call the conditional grant framework. So the conditional grant framework also stipulates the date and the amount that each and every province must get. So it is a legislated date, a payment date, which we must comply with. If we do not comply, because of the cash flow, how Treasury has determined the cash flow, they already know a year in advance to say, in such a date, Eastern Cape will receive so much, KwaZulu-Natal will receive so much, so that the planning of the cash flow between the department and national are sort of interlinked. And I also want to explain to the members on the process of the budgeting, because with this modified cash system, the government has introduced certain budgeting process like this. This process we call rollover. Rollover was introduced basically because at the end of the financial year, some of the invoices of the previous financial years have not been paid by the end of March. And because we are using a cash system, if you did not spend the money at the 31st of March, come 1st of April, that money is gone, you can't access it. So to address that challenge, the National Treasury introduced the rollover system, whereby towards the end of March, you highlight the invoices that you have committed, that services have been rendered and delivered, so that you ask them that, I've received these services, but the invoice and requirement and compliance requirement have not been met. So they will be met in the new financial year, then we'll be able to pay. So what they do with the rollover, they will assess it to see that it is justified. And it's part of what the medium-term budget speech process is doing, because that rollover is going to be included in the medium-term budget process approval. So you can even only spend it, even if you have committed it and the service was delivered in March. Unfortunately, you can only pay it after the medium-term budget process has been completed. That's how it works. And then, in mid-year, there is what we call adjustment estimate of national expenditure process. That process gives department an opportunity to see where projects are not going in according to plan. So that if there are projects that are not going according to plan, and there are new priorities, that gives the department an opportunity to request National Treasury to adjust the budget so that other project that where there is a demand for funds can be the shifting. So the shifting of funds is regulated in terms of the PFMA. So whatever we are doing here, we are doing it in terms of the PFMA and Treasury regulation. Thank you, Chair.
I'm delegated to Ms. Power. Thanks very much, DG. Oh, there's still some inputs. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. I do not want to repeat what the CFO has explained in terms of the library conditional grant. I think he has done it very well. I will just be spoiling it if I try to say anything. Chair, with regards to the South African Libraries and Information Services Bill, that bill was presented to Cabinet late last year. But because of the MTEF reductions, there has been significant cuts in terms of budget. As we interacted with National Treasury, they said that before we submit this bill to Parliament, we need to interact with the provincial CFOs, Treasurers, because it would not be appropriate to proceed with the bill, knowing very well that we might not be able to implement it the way we had projected to implement it because of the budget cuts that we have since seen. So, but the bill is ready. Then there was a question around the flags and the breakdown. We do have, Honorable Van Dijk, that particular the list of flags and the list of schools where we have installed the flags, so we can also make it available to the committee. And then there was an issue of Umamuini, Madikizela Mandela, a project. Maybe just to make a very brief report on that. A contractor was appointed on 18 April 2019. It took site on the 2nd of May 2019. And the projected completion date is 4 November 2019. The rate of work to date that I should report is 65%. The contractor completed the multipurpose center foundation, bus excavation, brickwork, roof sheeting, plastering and electricity tubing. The house has been repainted, its asbestos roof dismantled and recovered with new sheets that resemble asbestos, because as you would know, for health reasons, we are not allowed to be using asbestos anymore. The bond clinic structure has been supported by new columns and struts. The outstanding works are mainly the landscaping, retainer wall, division wall, electrification, paving, fencing, and construction of the guardhouse. So that's what has happened this far. So we are set to finish in November 2019. I think that's all that I was supposed to talk to.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You are Mr. Zagale Acting Deputy Director General of Institutional Governance.
You were not introduced. Thank you. Thanks.
I think, yeah, there was an introduction the last time, Honorable Chairperson, yes. I'll be responding to three of the comments very briefly. The first one is in relation to the issue of entities, and as far as our records go, all the entities have fully fledged and fully functional councils, unless you can direct us to one that you're aware of that does not have a fully functional council. And then in relation to the social cohesion programs that we spoke about at the target, specifically when we talk about those three that we reported on, it's those on community conversations and the one on social cohesion advocates and the one that is on the MRM, which is the Moral Regeneration Movement Project. And in terms of community conversations, it's usually the dialogue that we have pre-National Day. So for Heritage Month, we're probably going to have one on the 24th. For Human Rights Day, we'll have one on the 20th, and so forth. And of course, they'll be properly themed as well, and reports will be compiled. The Social Cohesion Advocates program is in relation to the Social Cohesion Advocates platforms that are created by the Social Cohesion Advocates, who are eminent people that are upstanding in communities, and so they create these platforms where you can discuss issues of around social cohesion and nation building. And I can just give examples of recent ones that we did in the last third quarter and fourth quarter, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, when we're having those issues around attacking of truck drivers and so forth. We had a community conversation that was facilitated by one of the social cohesion advocates there in Mlazi. But even before we went to Mlazi, we had met with all the non-South Africans or foreign nationals at the Diakonia Church Center towards the beach front in Durban, just to discuss how we can address those issues. So those are the social cohesion advocates programs that we have. But as well, we're addressing the issues around albinism as well, to ensure that people with albinism are protected, and all other citizens understand the issues around people with albinism. And I think the last one is in relation to target groups, just to say that what kind of activities do we have there. And when we talk about target groups, Chairperson, we talk about women, children, people living with disabilities, and also older persons. And so we have different programs for those. In relation to people with disabilities, again, on albinism, we actually have a drama that's called Mama, I Want to Be the Black That You Are, and which is circulating and is going around schools. And we also have a program, after-school program, where children, especially young girls, are encouraged or discouraged from teenage pregnancy and encouraged to have a high self-esteem. So, in fact, when we had the MINMAC last Friday, there was a performance from the Limpopo Awards program, which addresses those issues. And so with women, we'll have similar programs of women in theater, and also just working towards women's economic empowerment through provision of sewing materials and sewing machines for them to be able to develop themselves economically. I think those are the three.
Chairperson, my apologies. I skipped two items by mistake and not by intention, Chair. The first one is about the issue of the court settlement, which we are referring to, is that in terms of the MGE framework, one of the beneficiaries or the former beneficiaries was submitted a financial statement which were not audited, and based on that, there was a dispute between the beneficiary and the department to use that kind of financial statement. Then during the process, the beneficiary submitted audited but qualified financial statement, and the department, in terms of the requirements, you need to submit an unqualified audit report for you to benefit. But between the process, we don't know what happened, but the beneficiary was able to now to submit an unqualified
point of order, Chair.
Financial statement.
Point of order, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Can you tell us who is the beneficiary? We'll say beneficiary. Name the entity and we must know. Thank you, Chair. That's an order.
The name of the beneficiary company is OP Concevia. That is the name of the beneficiary, and they could not submit in terms of the MGE requirements correctly audited and unqualified audit report. But then they took the department to court, and they submitted audited financial statement to the court. We tried to fight the case at the court through the state law advisors, but the department lost the case, and the court outcome was that we need to settle an amount of 28 million to OP Concevia, which of course it was not budgeted for in this current financial year, because this beneficiary was approved in the year 2014.
Yes.
So in the current financial year, there were no funds set aside for that particular project. And to make matters worse, the court also calculated what they call the court interest. It's not the same as we do as prime plus 5. It is a very high kind of a rate, which amounted only the interest for this settlement was 8.8 million, which in our books we have disclosed as a fruitless expenditure, Chairperson, as you'll see when we submit our annual financial statement. And based on that, we were forced to settle an amount of 28 million for in relation to OP Consavia contract. The other issue which I needed to also deal with was the issue of the vacant post as to the process and what happened in the previous financial year. How's the DM meeting?
Thank you, honorable members. I'll respond on the question of the spirit of prayer in case at the end. But before that, just to give a short background, is that the golden economy, part of its objectives is to deal with issues of audience development and consumption. So in the 2013-14 MINMEC meeting, MINMEC resolved that out of the MGE funds, each province will be provided with 4 million to develop provincial projects into large-scale projects with national appeal. Your Makufe, Mapungubwe, Dorings, Diamonds and Dorings, those kind of activities. So how it will work is that we will commit 4 million per province, but province themselves will identify people will implement those projects through their own process, people will apply and so forth and so forth. So in the case of KZN, the province signed a contract with the organizers of Spirit and Praise. We did not sign a contract. So how it works is that the project will be implemented. After it's implemented, they'll provide a report, both narrative and financial, to the province. Then the province will then submit it to us. If they approve, it's only then that we will pay. So as it stands, I know that the festival was postponed several times, I think from last year, but we have not paid yet. It's a contractual obligation between the province and the beneficiary. So we have no commitment to the beneficiary. He must just work through the province. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much to members, honorable members, for the questions that have been asked, because my understanding and my belief is that these questions are asked to enhance the capacity and the performance of the department and to actually make sure that as they are being responded to, they actually empower the members in the process. So thank you very much. I just wanted to respond to the question around the issue of the compensation of budget. But before that, just to remind the members again that remember the department is sports, arts and culture, but the budget, the votes are still two. So I'm going to be responding only today on the arts and culture one. I know last week you have asked a question on the sports, which will come as responding. But I just wanted to inform members that in the last financial year, Arts and Culture as a department had about 61 critical positions that were vacant. And out of those, 34 have been filled. And then the 27 have not been filled, but they are in the process, some of them, of being finalized. Because advertisements for those, around 22 of those, the adverts were done very late, around December. So that process is continuing. But there are posts that, for instance, were not filled even though they were advertised. For instance, the post of a DDG for arts, culture, position, promotion and development, which we call ACPD, that post has not been filled, even though it was advertised earlier, because we couldn't find
a credible person to fill that post. As a result, right now, the department is embarking on a headhunt position to look for that particular person. But also to remind honorable members that some of the posts now would be affected by the magic of the departments. Because now the departments are merging, there are posts that we are not going to be able to fill, because automatically, as the departments are merging, some of those posts will automatically fall off. For instance, the post on communication, even though it's not filled, we can't fill it because it might automatically be filled by the merging. So I just wanted us to have that understanding that there is that, is that process. But so I hope we are on the same page on this. So there will be those posts that you will keep asking us. When we come with the annual report, remember, you will still ask the questions about the post, because it will still appear. It will still appear, but you are not going to be able to fill some of them because of the merger process. And I want to comment on the issue of Nkosulang and Bale, Honorable Mashlingos. I think the department notes your input there, and I think we will look at that in relation to Robben Island. I think it's important, and probably then when we come in the next financial year, we'll be able to tell you in detail what is it that we have put through. But I think it's a fair input that we have put there, and I don't think there's any issue there. On the issue of the minister not responding to some of the members, we've noted that, and as you have heard, the chair is meeting us after the meeting, me, myself, and the DG and the officials, to look at how do we make sure that members don't write to the department just for the, and feel that they are not being, you know, nobody is taking them serious. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen. We will look at that, we will respond those that, because I know some of them are in the process of being responded to. But we want to have a process that will then make everybody comfortable and understand that whatever you raise to us is important. So we will help you to come back to you on that. On the issue of the flags and the toilets, Honorable Matthews, unfortunately, as DG has already said, the department, the government is working on roads and separate departments, and therefore each department has got certain work that they do, and unfortunately toilets don't fall under us. But I understand the trust of what you are raising in saying there are things that are critical that as government we need to look at. And therefore, some of those things we will be able to raise at cabinet level with the colleagues to say, as we, Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, deal with what we are supposed to be dealing with, can other departments make sure that they look at what they're supposed to do so that there's synergy in what we are doing as government. I think we note that. But unfortunately, toilets are not under Sport, Arts and Culture, and I think we need to raise that. And I understand you were raising it, not because you don't understand. That is not under us. The issue of the many other reports that have been raised, because I know members have asked many things that they wanted in detail. And I know that the officials here were trying to flight some of the reports. But I've told them in any case that it's not going to help much to flight them. I think members need those reports. No, so they must be sent to the members, so that the members at their own time can be able to look at the report and see where are these projects when we say they have been done in certain actions in certain areas. You have a report, you are able to see, so that the issue of the impact, you are able to see. So those reports will be sent to members. I've told the officials that those, they are there, so I don't see any reason why then those reports don't come to you, because once a department has finished with a report, it's a public document, and you are members of SPOC that are representing the public, you need to have those reports. So those reports will be sent to you without any fail. I think the issue of the provinces, the issue of overspending and underspending has been dealt with, but just to say, to remind members, I know you know this, that the allocation that the department gets, 80% of it goes to entities and provinces. And what you see there is what then Mr. Ndima was trying to explain and the CFO around the issue of the conditional grant that has got a framework. Unfortunately, the how government works, we can't just transfer the whole amount to a province or to an entity. We can agree that this particular province will get 200 million for this financial year, but we can't send that whole 200 million to the province. It goes per quarter. But what you would look at in terms of what has happened there, even though there's underspending and overspending, Honorable Sandeek, at the end, no province has overspent. They would have spent within the money that has been allocated to them. The only difference would have been they might have underspent in one quarter and overspent in another quarter, but overall, in four quarters, they would have spent what is allocated to them. So I thought it's important that that is clarified. So thank you very much again, Honorable Members, for the questions, because it enhances what the department does, and the questions that you have raised actually improve the report that we need to deal with coming forward, so that you don't raise the same questions, because it would mean that you are not listening to what you are saying. The questions that you are asking are supposed to improve the report that we present to you, so that when you come back, we don't then give you the same tired that you are able to see that we are listening and we are learning from yourselves. Thank you very much.
Honourable Members, I've seen your hands. I want to remind you that I'm also a timekeeper, and you must not feel bad when I'm saying that I'm closing the meeting, because sometimes you accuse me that you want to have your lunches. Now the time is we're left with 8 minutes. In those 8 minutes, if you want a follow-up question, you must do it in order that the entourage must respond and must vacate this room. I've seen the hand, Honorable Sierra, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Van Dijk, in that order. You must brief to the point in order that you must get your responses.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm not going to follow up questions. I'm just putting forward proposals if they can be accepted. I would propose that in those reports that you're sending, as promised, maybe we'll also get this preliminary report on the rationalization of entities or amalgamation, whatever you say. But I wanted to suggest, Chair, because one, I'm attracted to this issue of induction or strategic planning, maybe something we need to reflect on, even if it's not today. I think the chairperson will give direction on that one. I'd also suggest that there might be a prescribed template for reporting, but I wanted to suggest that for our sake, as this committee, I'm not sure that that would be deviation. If the report can include the impact, that's my song. And the report can also include, if it's not implemented, of course it's included here, if it's not implemented, why that variation and what are the corrective measures to be put in place. And also assist us. I don't know whether this is too much to ask. There are certain things that will be more political if you report about them that we might need to take to communities. And that's where we need to highlight them so that we have a bit of information in those areas. For example, the Winnie Mandela Museum is a thing that is even there in the house. We would need to have information about that. The projects, especially capital projects, if I may put it down there, the library there in this province, in that province, in this area, we have more information about that, so that when we go to our constituencies, were able to, I'm not saying others are not important. This other information of vacant posts and so on, yes, is important, but it's not something that I'm going to report about it when I'm doing my constituency work. So I'm not sure whether if the department can assist us to lift certain reports so that it enables us to do our work. Thanks, Chair.
I want that you must share these few minutes, 5 minutes, in order that the department must answer. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I wanted to echo Danok's proposal. Can we have in our next meeting the entity that deals with theatres? Because, you know, one of the things that I tend not to understand with this department, you are the father of these entities. Now, you cannot tell me that you don't know that the Market Theatre must respond to that. I fail to understand. If they submit a report, it's on their report and it was submitted to you, DG. Now, if you don't know, tell us you don't know it's in the report, then to say the entity must come. I'm just saying, good teacher, those are the issues that the DG must run with. You are giving them money, they must report back to you. Now, Chair, issue Skatamea. I wanted to find out, Skatamea and Black Mambazo, Lady Smith, there are two entities or two different issues. My question was based, what is the funding for Skatamea? There's a Skatamea funding. And it was not answered. It says Skatamea funding. How much was it allocated to date and how much has been used or how much has been transferred, so to say? That one was not answered. Black Mambazo, Lady Smith, it's another question on its own. Now, it was not even answered there, Chair. I wanted to find out, especially with the NEF. Thank you for the response. I understand now. The different 25 million, when is it going to be transferred? Or what are the challenges? What are the details? You've responded to that. Now I'm getting a follow-up question on that. And regarding ILE Living Legend Trust, who appoints the board, firstly? How was the board appointed? And you only transfer 8 million, good total 20 million. What is happening with the different? What are the challenges? What causes the department not to transfer the other supporting transfer or money owed to? Regarding Winnie Mandela, how much is the total budget for Winnie Mandela project, the heritage site, the total? And you know, the department, I understand, even last time you did not answer my request. I know that we are starting in April, starting clean, but there was money used before. How much was it used or earmarked, even if there were issues with it? We must know these things. Now, Chair, I thank you, but there's a last question that I wanted. The other questions, I don't want to delay the meeting. Sub judice issues, we are allowed to get response in this committee. Now, DG, you cannot say this is sub judice. I've asked this. Yes, it's in the city press. The deputy clearly stated that. But as a committee member, I'm allowed to get the response. Don't say it's sub judice. Can you respond to that question? Now, the question of Mzansi Magic, who are the law firm who are dealing... It's a follow-up question here, Mzansi Law...
I'm saying, trying to shorten, I've got another member, and look at your minute, and I need them to respond.
Sure. What is the name of the law firm that deals with Mzansi Magic cases? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I missed the response on the bursary. If I can just get clarity on that. And then I would like, if the department can maybe give us a written report on the progress on all the investigations on maladministration and disciplinaries, etc. Specifically on those entities that I've mentioned. I think that would give us as a new committee also a bit of clarity on where. And I'm also curious to know this NGE, the court case, why did we lose that in the first place? That for me is also something that I would like to know. And I also agree with my colleague Honourable Tsepo on this the DJ's comment on the fact that the living legends is sub judice, because this body, this committee, it should be open to the committee, the members, the public, because we have to report to the public. And I think if we reserve to keep the information, it seems it might come over that we actually are trying to avoid accountability. So if we can get some information on that topic also, I'd appreciate it. Judges are bound by an oath, and I think they make their judgment on what is in front of them, not on what is expressed in the media. So they won't be, I think what we discuss here won't cloud the judgment in court.
Honourable members, DM and DG and any other official?
I just wanted to respond to one question that has been raised from the follow-up. The issue of the living legends, Honourable Mishra. The reason why I think the DG said the case is sub judice is that, I don't know if he said there was 20 million put aside for this, and then 8 million was transferred. When the 8 million was transferred, then there was some shenanigans that happened.
Uh-huh.
And then they couldn't transfer the 12 million. Now, the reason why we couldn't transfer the 12 million is simply because the case is still ongoing. The case has not been concluded yet. So because the case is not concluded yet, we can't transfer the remainder of the amount. Because the case is still ongoing, we can't then divulge the because it's not done. Otherwise, if the case was concluded, we could then share with the government. But if the honorable members want to assist on the details, we can write to the chair and give her the details, and it's up to her to want to make it open, to make it public, hoping that it will not jeopardize the case, because the case is still ongoing. It's not complete yet. That's why we said it's sub judice. It's not complete yet. I wanted to clarify that point on the living
legend. Honourable Chair, I think, can I assist you with the Honourable Member? Honourable Members, we are governed by the law that Honourable Members want us to abide by. And there are segregation of duties. The entities are agencies of the department, but they've got what we call a board. A board, minister's role appoints the board. The board appoints the CEO. The CEO appoints the staff. What we then do, we play the oversight to follow the money. And that is why when we indicated that it's a report that we are saying quarterly they will give us reports, we analyze them on how they spend the money if we transfer the money to them. We do not get involved in appointment of staff. They follow their own processes. What we do, which I'm not sure Honorable Member is referring to the report to the DG, by the Market Theatre Foundation. I don't know what report is he referring to that has been submitted to me about appointment of the artistic director by Market Theatre. If that report is available and Honourable Member has it, he can direct it to me. Then I will address the question if we will have powers to deal with the matter of the appointment of the artistic director at Market Theatre. But it is the theatre administration that appoints the staff for their theatres. So the DDG responsible for the entities is here. And that is Sizakele Shombe. So, Honourable Chair, I just want to clarify, I don't know this report that is referred to. So maybe I must get help so that I deal with that report. And then I think the DM has responded on the issue of the transference of the Living Legends budget. Now, I don't know what is this Mzansi Magic cases. I don't have such cases. Mzansi Magic is a broadcasting academy. So that there is Mzansi Magic cases, I don't know that. I don't have those details, Honorable Chair. So if Honorable Member have them, let us go and deal with the Mzansi Magic cases if they are within our jurisdiction to deal with them. We will then, I will then ask in terms of buzzer response, the Honorable Member, that that question was not answered. I just don't seem to find the direct question, but my colleagues can respond to the buzzer question.
Katamea and...
Honorable Chair, thank you again. Our apologies for skipping the issue of the bursaries. If you look at slide 22, Honorable Member, you'll see that we have achieved more by 70% in terms of bursaries, 509 bursaries. And then I take you straight to slide 45, where you can see that we have overspent on bursaries because we have reallocated funds to pay for the additional 200 bursaries. So that is when I was explained that in most cases, our performance report will also affect the financial report, and those are correlating if you look at slide 22 and slide 45. Thank you, Chair.
I was laughing because somebody said it's Katamia and there's somebody that said Uchilo. So you know, can I share something? There was a former chairperson of another committee who was having a member of that committee. So I'm suspecting I must monitor them very carefully. Now that somebody is no longer chairing the committee, but I'm seeing that the relationship of those two members can make this committee unruly. I've seen the hand.
Lord Chair, I was going to say, members must also remember, we are dealing with the third and fourth quarter report, and the annual performance reports are going to come, remember? And the annual performance reports, when they come with entities as well. So what Honorable Mshongo is looking for is going to come in any case, because remember, now we must come and present the annual performance reports at some point in this committee with the entities, how they have performed. That question that is dying for will come in any case, because we entities must be presented on their annual performance. I thought it's important just to make him feel comfortable and know that we are not undermining his question.
Point of order, Chair. The Deputy Minister, with due respect, the first question that was my first question, the audit report, why was it delayed? It was not even answered. That was my first question. And remember in our last meeting, Chair, the first meeting with the department, they told us, yes, we'll get it in August. This is August. I'm just saying that was now UDM Uzama Ugu justify into Engati. Yes, we'll get it. But that was my first question. It's on the record to say, what is the status of your audit? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, are we not forgotten, especially those who have been in Parliament, that even as a committee, we are not yet getting the audit report? Where are they going to get it? So I'm reminding those members, and with those members who I knew, they must know that the audit report will even be given by the audit and a final audit report, in order that we must question them according to that report. Can another member of the department respond?
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to Iskatamia, we supported, I'm not sure if the Honourable Member is talking about the Philip Mabida Iskatamia concert. It was a concert that got an application and we supported it. But in addition to that, we have had engagements with various musicians, particularly those, the marginalized art form, those stratamia, you know, the reggae artists. We have had engagements as a department to try and check that how best can we assist. So we, on the issue of stratamia, we support them at FNB. I don't have the actual figure, but it was not more than 2.5. I'll come back with the actual amount. How much it was supported, that Stratamia concert. And then we also had engagement at Playhouse Nabo just to discuss what are their challenges, because they were fighting amongst themselves to try to intervene as a department, if that is what. We also supported another one, Ellis Park. Not Ellis Park, Standard Bank Arena next to Ellis Park. I can't recall the actual figures because that was last year, but I can bring that information. Thank you.
In the meeting, because you were adding on what UDM is saying, because Honorable Hlongo Ufun, he wanted a detail of this pattern. As we are saying now, we are saying just verbal. So those who are writing minutes, they must write that the written report is needed in this committee about Stratamia. Everything about Stratamia, the funding and whatever, we must not leave on this unattended body with a hand. Meeting now is closed. Honorable members and the department, I'm seeing that we've got a lot to do. The merging of two departments, and I'm suspecting this department has got, as we're thinking, have got a big chunk of budget, but that budget is going to these entities. By your good self, when we debated, we've said these entities are too much, and we're saying that the white paper will assist us on reducing, but they must look not to cut, just to cut them, in order that the 80% of this budget making us not too happy, because some are not accounting, some are being not yet in jail, are being investigated because of fraud. That 80%, that's why we're seeing this. Let's push that white paper. We want it. In those words, I'm thinking everybody contributed in this committee of today meeting agenda.
Chair, housekeeping tomorrow? For housekeeping? Is it still on? No, for housekeeping.
The housekeeping, the program is with you. We didn't get that tomorrow evening meeting.
Is it still on?
No,
remember, we didn't get the agendas and the documents.
No.
Unjalo, DM. Because with
DM. It's in papers in Congo.
We valid meeting, Chair. We put that off record. We valid. Katamia Fund. It is Katamia Fund. It says Fund. Yeah. I love you.
Thank you.